Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, your presumptive hosts for the next 5 hours.
And we hope your mama got a squeeze box for Mother's Day.
Is that what you would have gotten your mom, a squeeze box?
Yes.
I don't know if my mom would have appreciated a squeeze box. Was it a great day for you? Did you have a nice time?
Can I tell you this was the best Mother's Day I've ever had in my life?
Wow. Because why?
Saturday night, Michael played a gig at a little piano bar in LaGrange, and he did a little dedication for me. That was Saturday night.
Yeah.
Sunday morning, Dylan got up at 5 a.m. to make me breakfast in bed. That's a little early.
Did that play out all right?
No.
He
had never really soloed on the scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
So he said he put a little too much milk in, and they were very white, and he ended up throwing them out and going back to bed. But I said the effort, honestly.
You get high marks on the effort
big
there.
Time.
Sure.
And then they got me some tulips that I wanted and a lovely card, and then Jim went with me to the Home Depot to get 20 bags of mulch.
Right there, you have a winning Mother's Day.
I laid down 16 bags of mulch, and then we went to Bob Chin's to get some crab legs.
That's a full day.
It was awesome.
Everything worked good. I was made fun of during breakfast, Mother's Day breakfast.
Do they always make fun of you?
You know, it's becoming something of a ritual, and I'm okay with it. But they made fun of me for something very strange. You tell me if this is make fun worthy, all right?
All right.
We ordered from Walker Brothers, and then Terry picked it up with Reese, and then we ate it outside because the weather yesterday was just
Wasn't
beautiful.
Wasn't it amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. And everything was great. And then I had a story that I was going to share with them. I was in the middle of sharing the story with them about how when I was a kid, we would go out to breakfast at the International House of Pancakes, and they had 8 or 10 different kinds of syrups. And I said, you know, if you just like maple, they had it. But if you wanted to go a little more exotic with like a boysenberry, they had it. But every time I was, as I'm telling them this story, they're all laughing. And I don't know why.
What's so funny?
And I said, why is this funny? And then Reese said, because you keep saying International House of Pancakes. And I go, well, that's what it was called. Well, now it's just called IHOP.
Well, what do you think it stands for?
But that is what it stands for. But they're all laughing. And then Kylie goes, you make it sound like people from other countries are flying in to have their pancakes. And I go, well, I didn't name it the International House of Pancakes. And then they're just piling on. Reese is going, but be honest, did you see anybody from any other land other than the United States in the International House of Pancakes? And I go, I didn't name it the International
House
of Pancakes.
You're calling it what it's called.
So then there was a debate. Is it called the International House of Pancakes because people from other lands are visiting it or because there's pancakes from other parts of the world? And I said, you guys are way rethinking this. It was just called that as a status thing. And they go, oh, so no one else could get into the International House? You had to be like an ambassador? And I go, no. It was what it was called at the time.
Not worthy.
Well, I was, my parents moved. They downsized. They're in a townhouse now.
Yeah.
So I was down Saturday with my wife and daughter, and my parents were all there, and we buy our flowers every year down there for the spring. And
yeah,
I'd worked with Kathy O'Malley, drove down one in the afternoon, a little impatient. We're chit-chatting. I'm like, it's got to go. We got to go. Keep chit-chatting. And finally, I said, look, I'll be in the car. I'm going to take off. And I opened up the door, turned out to be to their coat closet, and walked right into their closet. Thought I was walking into the garage.
Whoops.
See, at that point, you can't go back. You just have to go in and pretend you've left.
I sorted them. I cleaned them out.
All right, but here's the difference. Steve deserves to be made fun of for that. You do not. That's what it was, International House of Pancakes.
I don't think I should have been made fun of. There are plenty of times that I should be made fun of.
This is not one of them.
That's what it was called.
Didn't Terry back you up?
No, she laughed right along with them because at that point it was two of them and one of me, and she jumped on their bandwagon. But
you can't pile on, Terry.
I even said to her, what did we call, like, I don't know when they came up with just calling it IHOP. I know we live in a busy time. No one has time to say International House of Pancakes. That takes too long. I get that. But when we were growing up, that's all it was called.
There was no IHOP.
Right.
Like Kentucky Fried Chicken was Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Not KFC.
And now it's KFC.
I know.
And you don't have to be from Kentucky to go there.
Of course not. That would be bad for business.
I usually agree with most of the time they make fun of you.
I really do. I do too. I totally get it too most of the time, but not in this instance. And I'm getting a lawyer. I'm retaining an attorney for this.
Is that your answer to everything?
Yeah. It's a very litigious society we live in.
It's Lia Bill.
Yeah, that's my name. That's my new name. Don't wear it out. But anyway, you know, it's one of those days that it's a difficult day. We've talked about this. Your mom is no longer with us. My mom is no longer with us. And in the first few years after my mom had died, that was the worst day of the year for me. It really was.
It takes some time to heal.
Yeah.
And you still think of it. My mom's middle name was Viola. So every year on Mother's Day, I plant Viola flowers.
Oh, in her honor.
Yeah. And so I did that. And then Michael was on the air on his radio station at WLTL, his high school station. And he did a Mother's Day tribute and I requested Mother and Child Reunion. I'm in the backyard crying as I'm listening to that song.
How about that?
It was sweet.
Yeah.
And yeah, it still kind of tugs on your heartstrings.
I know. Several times I thought about, well, how could you not? You think about your mom and you think about, you know, different years with her, not just on Mother's Day, but on other days. And as you've said, you know, you regret she never got to see your kids.
Yeah.
She died beforehand. I kept thinking, last night we went out to dinner and we were having such a nice time. And I kept thinking, I feel so bad that my mom didn't get to see this version of my daughters. You know, she got to see them when they were babies.
Now they're young women.
Yeah. And I really, you know, that's tragic to me that they don't get to know her through their life and she doesn't get to know them. So that played a little bit in my head, but for the most part, a really nice day yesterday.
And there are little pangs that come even, you know, for years after my mom died, I would walk around, I'd be shopping, I'd say, oh, I got to get that for mom. She'd love,
right,
wait a minute.
Right.
I don't think she needs clothes anymore.
Isn't that a strange reflex? Because I do it more at Christmas as we're shopping for everybody on our list.
Still
go, well,
to
that
this day.
Would be perfect for my mom, you know? So, yeah, I don't know that that ever fully goes away. You're always going to get a version of that probably, right? And that's, I don't know that that's so bad. You know, it jolts you a little bit, but really, that's not so bad, is it?
No, because it makes you realize how much you loved them and how much you miss them. And there are a lot of people that are missing their mothers this past Mother's Day.
Right.
And on Father's Day, the same thing.
You know, several years ago, I was in San Francisco. I was doing an industrial show, and I'm working in San Francisco. And there's this breakfast place in San Francisco that makes unbelievable French toast. We were there when I was a kid, and I could not remember the name of it. I was going to go there with the people I was working with. I'm like, I can't remember the name. So I called my house. I talked to my dad. My dad didn't remember. And just out of a weird habit, I started to say, well, put mom on. She'll know. And she had already been gone for 5 or 6 years at that point.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, moms bail everybody out of trouble. That's what we do.
All day, every day.
So
it's a nonstop factor, isn't it?
So when you're missing your mom, you're missing something because she would have said, why didn't you do that?
Right.
Do you realize you had an appointment?
Right. Right.
Thank God the iPhone's here.
Thank God.
To take the place of mom.
All right. We'll take a quick break and then we have a big show for you. Stay where you are. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Speaking of the Bailey's Harbor Yacht Club Resort in Door County, I heard your little game you played on Friday.
Mom's the word?
It was, you did a great job. I'm a little disappointed at the listeners. I was with my boys. They had a doctor's appointment. I had to take the day off. And I was raising my hand and yelling, Wendy, Wendy, Wendy.
I didn't know. I would have easily gone to you on some of these. And I left off. Both contestants did well until I got to the last three questions.
Yeah.
And then it got a little dicey. I left off some of the harder questions, like Frank Zappa's backup group, which I know you would have gotten that one. I'm trying to remember the other ones. The mom from Cartoon Town, would you have gotten that?
No.
Mother Plumtree. There were a couple that I left off that I thought were too hard.
I envisioned her face, but I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah.
That one's really hard.
There were a couple that were just a little too hard. But, yeah, thank you. It went well.
Mama Leone from the Billy
Joel
song.
She left a note on the door that said, Sonny, move out to the country.
I mean, right. I'm screaming at the radio. You sound good on the air.
Radio's
career.
Not for me, Wendy. You know that.
It was so wild being in the car listening to our show and just like, wait, I'm supposed to be
Isn't
there.
Isn't that a strange sensation?
It is kind of weird.
I've had that happen a couple times where I've had to leave early and you just go, I'm open. Why aren't you throwing to me? I'm wide open.
It's so weird.
Come on.
What did you think of my ding work? I was on the dings.
Did you like Kevin?
You were a great dinger.
Yep.
A great dinger.
It's the highest compliment I think you've ever paid Kevin.
Thanks, Wendy.
Kevin, did your mother have a lovely Mother's Day?
The actual Mother's Day, I think she was writing a 10- or 12-page paper, but we hung out on Saturday.
She's still in school.
Yes.
That's how young Kevin is. His mom is still in school.
No, she's working on her like master's degree or something like
God.
That.
Oh, my God.
Something like that?
I don't know which one it is. I'm a terrible son, I know.
No, you're not.
That took you like a second and a half to break down and say that.
I just default to that, yeah. It's...
Can I tell you something, though? I had to run into Walgreens on the way to work today, and I said, did you have a good Mother's Day? And this girl says to me, I did not. This was the worst Mother's Day
I
had. I said, oh, my God. Is everything okay? She goes, I was ready to call DCFS and have them come take my kids. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. How old are they? Oh, they're grown. They're grown. I don't think DCFS will take them back.
No, you got to be kids.
Oh, everything is gimme, gimme, gimme. Not here, Mom. I said, well, I am so
terrible.
I got to go.
That's awful.
That's why I don't talk to people.
I know. That's why my husband doesn't either. Jim wears blinders everywhere we go.
Sometimes I'll say something like, how much does this cost?
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to know. You don't want to get too deep into the storyline.
Oh, and then, can I just tell you the weirdest thing that I had to do, speaking of Miss, I'll talk to anyone
can
who will listen.
Can you say it on the air?
Yes. Yeah. I went to a plant sale because it was a great weekend. I love to plant things. And there are a couple of houses in the, I think, Brookfield area that plant things in the winter and harvest them in their basement under lamps and stuff. And then they bring them out and have a plant sale. Mm-hmm. And I like to go to these because mm-hmm. sometimes it's less money. Sometimes it's a bigger variety. So I have Dylan sitting in the car. And we were going to an antique shop on Saturday, and I said, let me just run into this plant sale. So mm-hmm. I'm looking around, and there's this wonderful woman who all of a sudden she said, oh, my leg has just given out. And so the people who lived there brought a chair and said, where's your car? Oh, it's just around the corner. Well, do you want us to go get your car for you? And she said, no, my dog is in the car.
Oh.
And, we said, well, I can help walk you to your car. And she goes, well, my walker's in the car. I said, I can go get it.
Yeah.
And so finally I talked her into letting me take her car and pull it up into the driveway. So
she gave you her keys.
She hands me her keys and she says, my dog's in there. Just her name's Duchess. She'll be fine. So she had parked right by my car and Dylan says to me, are you stealing a car? And I said, no, I have
again?
The keys.
Are you stealing another car?
I said, this poor woman, her leg is bothering her. She's ready to have surgery, and it just kind of gave out on her, so I'm getting her car. But there's a dog in here, and so I hope it doesn't bite me. So Dylan says, wait, let me get my camera.
No.
I said, don't, no.
No, he did the right thing.
I said, you no, want do evidence. Not. So I opened the door, and I said, hey, Duchess, how's everything going? And Duchess's little tiny dog just looks at me, and I get in the driver's seat. And I think, you know, I could just steal
you
this car and this
car.
Dog.
Right. Duchess said, I've had the worst Mother's Day ever.
So I pulled up the car into the plant family's driveway, and mm-hmm. the woman was so thankful. And I said, oh, my God, it's nothing. Have
right.
a great Mother's Day.
Oh, well, that was a nice thing.
But it was weird.
Well...
That's what I get for talking to people.
You know how, again, I always apologize when I say this, but I operate under the belief that no good deed goes unpunished. There were so many potential things that could have gone wrong there.
Yeah.
From the dog biting you to a car accident
right.
And on, the police stopping you for any reason, just going, can we see license and registration? This isn't your vehicle. There's so many things that could have gone wrong. Even though what you did was a very nice thing, I don't think I would have done that. I would have been afraid the entire time.
Can I tell you something? You wouldn't have been put in that position because you wouldn't have chit-chatted with the
woman. I
would
not have, probably. Right.
Nor would Steve or my husband.
Right.
You
right.
guys would have been just, oh, wow, there's a lady with a sore leg. I have nothing
yeah.
for me here, and you'd leave.
Do you mind if I pass around you, ma'am?
Out of my way.
But Dylan thought it was really weird that you just got in a stranger's car.
That is kind of weird.
I know, but it was, I didn't think twice about it, and I must have a trusting face.
You do.
Thank you.
You definitely
Ish.
Do. You do.
Ish. But it was, and I, you know what, since her leg was so sore, I didn't want to readjust her seat, so I was driving with the steering wheel
oh,
like
sure.
in my teeth.
You're supposed to. That's how everyone drives in Florida.
It's just become a Lucille Ball episode.
If the tables were turned, if it, well, I was going to say, if you, you know, there are times where you do have a sore leg, would you trust somebody that you had no idea who they were?
I wouldn't even trust my husband.
You wouldn't, would you?
Wouldn't.
Would you give a stranger your car keys? I would never. I don't like to do it with valets at restaurants. I get nervous.
I just, I want to say it out loud because I'm so happy she trusted me and I was able to help. That's all I want to say.
And it had a happy ending, luckily.
Yeah, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right.
Didn't get me.
You were safe.
And then after that, we went to this antique store and I found an old hockey stick.
Yeah.
And I stole a neighbor's idea, which was you take, I have a Blackhawks flag hanging in front of our house.
Sure.
Well, I took an old hockey stick and I made that the flagpole.
Oh, that's great.
So anyone can steal my idea. I stole it from someone, but that's why Pinterest exists.
Right.
And when I got the hockey stick for $5, it wouldn't fit in the flagpole holder.
Yeah.
So I had to get out the sandpaper and a little chisel.
Whittle it down a little bit.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
So
that's crafty.
It really, I just had a great weekend.
It sounds like it. Good, 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 good. Steve will give you the news, and then a Chicago tourism idea unlike any you've ever heard of. Maybe good, maybe not. You decide. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
My kind of town, Chicago.
Wendy, look who's here. Lou Raisin is here, one of the founders of Broadway in Chicago. He's on the executive board for Choose Chicago. They have come up with a series of ideas to make our city better, more tourist-friendly, and one of them in particular is one that is astonishing to us. Lou, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
We're looking at your credits. Wendy and I are looking at your credits. How can you be just one person? You've got enough good credits to be three or four people.
We'll see. I'm going to cash in on some of those credits.
Good.
All right. So I love this city. I think we have a gorgeous city. I was just looking at the tulips that are out. I mean, I love being in this city, even though I'm a suburbanite. But you have an idea that might make it even better. Why don't you explain your idea?
Well, last week we wound up talking to the City Club about a new vision for tourism.
Mm-hmm.
And we unveiled what turns out to be a dozen big game-changing ideas for the city. This is really a time when we see that there needs to be a major shift, when we can't rely on the city and state
mm-hmm.
to do these big, bold kind of moves. We know from an economic standpoint, the city and state are strapped. And for the foreseeable future, we see that as an issue. The problem we face from a tourism standpoint, which is another way of me saying economic development, because that's really what it is in my head, that we need to have the private sector step up and make these big, bold moves. So the big piece of conversation has been about lighting, has been about the pedway. The pedway is one of those, you know, who would go in the pedway? Why? You know,
right.
And once you got down there, you don't know which direction to go.
I still have to do a tour of that because it's huge, isn't it?
It's an asset that if we can make a small tweak, if we can add light, if we can add sound, and we can add art, we can transform it into something that's really meaningful from a tourist standpoint and from a resident standpoint.
With these ideas, are you looking a year in advance, 5 years in the future, 10 years, 20 years? What is the game plan with most of these ideas?
Our whole objective is to see what resonates in the minds and eyes of the public. And once we understand that, that will help us prioritize these lists.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready to jump. We've invested millions of dollars in these ideas, in these concepts, and we think they add huge value to the city.
All right, so the new idea, much like San Francisco has a cable car, these would be a high-wire gondola.
The Skyline is an aerial gondola that flies from the pier, flies up over the river at a height that allows us to maintain our ship traffic, comes down, and it's a very light footprint as it follows its way on the south side of the river, following the Riverwalk to Wolf Point.
Now, this is not something new for the city. Didn't they have gondolas before?
They did. The city was forward-thinking back in 1933 as part of the World's Fair. They had what they then referred to as the Skyride. It attracted 4.5 million people and was the biggest attraction at that World's Fair.
How would this differ in concept from that version of the Sky Cars? How would it be similar? Would it be dramatically different?
Well, it's dramatically different. You've never seen an aerial gondola like this. They fly around in ski resorts and major resorts around the world now, but never looking and built like this one. This is bespoke and built and designed for Chicago from the ground up.
Would the focus of this mainly be for transportation reasons or for recreational reasons or a combination? Why would people
take
these?
Yeah. Well, view.
Absolutely. The first thing we had to do is determine, what are we? Are we an attraction for tourism, or are we transportation? Mm-hmm. Because those two fight against each other. So our whole reason for being is economic development. And this is an attraction for tourism. This draws 1.4 million people to Chicago in addition to what we have here now. And really, from a deal standpoint, it becomes the anti-parking meter deal.
Yeah, I bet.
This is a deal that, you know, the city is engaged on all levels. From an economic standpoint, the city sees over $330 million on an annual basis. Mm-hmm. From its participation in this, and including taxes.
We have Lou Raisin in the studio with us, founder of Broadway in Chicago. He's on the executive board for Choose Chicago. And he and Lawrence Geller, head of Geller Capital Partners, have put together plans on how to increase tourism in Chicago, including this high wire zip line, aerial gondola. I don't know if in Italy they say gondola. Would we say gondola?
Well, if we're in Venice and we're going down in the water, I would say gondola.
Well, we will put a link up on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, but it looks like a giant ice cube. Would it be like completely encapsulated where you could see out everywhere?
It's all glass.
Oh, my God.
It carries 19 people at a time on a 30-minute journey round trip.
Wow. I want to be a tour guide on that. Are you going to have tour guides?
We have we're talking to the Architecture Foundation, we're talking with Friends of the River about, there's different ways to experience the tour. Mm-hmm. And you think about it from an environmental standpoint, look at the engineering in this city. Mm-hmm. We've changed the flow of our river. You know, that there's something to talk about.
Really?
You can go walk back and forth or take a boat back and forth, and every time you go on the river, there's some other way of looking at it.
When you see what's happened with the saga of the Lucas Museum, does that make you play this a little bit differently in any way?
You know, we are incredibly sensitive to the issues and those people that would look at things like this in different ways. We have spent the last few years on what we refer to as a fatal flaw analysis. We have studied and looked at this from every direction. We want to understand the problems before everybody else perceives the problem, so we can answer that problem.
I ask because if a group like Friends of the Park, who opposed using up some lakefront property for the Lucas Museum, they or somebody like them could also say the same possibly about this, couldn't
you mentioned
they?
Friends of the Lake. I never knew there were Friends of the Lake till just now.
Well, I'm convinced there'll be a Friends of something.
Friends of the River?
There was a Friends of something that will come out and oppose anything that is going to be built.
Of course.
So,
are they really our friends?
I don't know. Friends is in italics, I think. There was a movie, and I'm blanking on the name of it, that was one of the futuristic, here's Chicago, post-apocalyptic, here's what you're going to get, a couple of years ago, and they had a ziplining scene. I don't know if you know the movie or you saw it, but it was almost essentially what you're talking about, only a real high-speed version, where they were flying around from building to building on ziplines, and I thought, if that's the future of Chicago, I wouldn't mind taking that ride. You're making it more realistic.
There was one of the articles that was written over the last few days was somebody describing Chicago as the new city for James Bond movie.
Oh, really?
And based on the skyline. They used the skyline, and then they laid out their path through all the other elements of the movie in Chicago.
Wow. I like
that. Was it Divergent?
It was Divergent. It was absolutely Divergent. I don't know if you've seen it, Lou, but there is a scene where they're skylining from building to building downtown. It looked fantastic. It really looked good. What's been the reaction so far? Like when you guys unveiled this, were there oohs and ahs and gasps or what?
It's been incredibly positive. You know, there are people that talk about our wind conditions and talk about those kind of issues. Again, those are things we've studied and we understand the implication. But it has really been incredibly positive, and we're buoyed by that.
Where would you board it? Would it, it obviously would have to come down, or would there be a platform built up high to get on it?
There is a station. There would be a station at Navy Pier. And one of the keys in all of this is really understanding that for the first time we will have some way of connecting Navy Pier, Millennium Park, and the Riverwalk. If you've ever tried walking from the Riverwalk to from Millennium Park to Navy Pier, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. You get lost at best. So even though this doesn't make its way to Millennium Park, it's a block and a half away.
Yeah.
So from Congress.
When you're dealing with a state that doesn't have a budget, how do you ask them to allocate any kind of funds to develop an idea like this?
We don't.
You don't?
We don't. This is all private money. We've spent millions of dollars to date.
Yeah.
And we see this as a project, $250 million project, without $1 of city or state funds.
Yeah.
You tell me people aren't going to hop on this ride if it gets on Navy Pier, which isn't that the most visited
tourist attraction in the state.
Which I still find shocking.
Yeah.
It has
been for years.
It's true.
And
it's
so
true.
They get there. How could you not hop on this thing?
Navy Pier, I believe, is approaching 9 million people a year.
Good God, y'all.
That's amazing. How many of the cars would exist under the future plan?
I don't remember the exact number of cars, but the cars are, there's 16 people a car. These little bubbles float down the river.
Look at the picture, which we'll post.
Some have referred to as gossamer. It's a very, very light footprint as it touches, and very low energy consumption as well.
And if this were to happen, and I would
love
to
see.
When this happens, it's year-round. I know there'd be some problems with wind. You'd get a couple of days you couldn't do it, but for the most part, it's 12 months out of the year.
That's one of the keys to this, is it flies year-round.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that when our tour season is over, even though our objective is to extend it as much as possible, we really want to give it away to our schools. We see school buses lining up at Navy Piers. We put 3,000 kids an hour and let them be touched by the city like never before.
Yeah.
Has anyone complained about it, that it makes it look too much like a theme park or something? Have you heard complaints?
We haven't. In fact, we've taken a lot of care in the design, you know, that we're sensitive from a historic standpoint and from a design standpoint, that we see this as the new postcard from Chicago.
And it's not obtrusive. I mean, you know, with it being these glass enclosures,
right,
it's not you're going to see some foreign thing floating around. It just kind of blends in beautifully, yet stands out excellently.
Well, one of the things that's really important to everything we set out in terms of our goals is we need to be iconic. We need to think about differentiators. The designers for this are David Marks of Marks Barfield. He's the designer and developer of the London Eye.
Yeah.
This is the London Eye,
yeah,
taken apart and put on a string,
yeah,
and brought down the river.
All right, so do you need any assistance? Is there a page to offer support, either financially or just approval? Lou Raisin, founder of Broadway in Chicago, we're talking about these high-wire zipline aerial gondolas. What's it called?
We call it the Skyline.
The Sky. Oh, that's good. You guys have.
We have the red
good.
Line, the blue line, the green line. This
Look
is
at
the Skyline.
That. Any website, anything that if people are interested in finding out more about it, or perhaps they have a couple $1 million sitting around that they'd like to offer you, where do we go?
Well, we don't have anything set up because our goal at this point was just to get the conversation going. So it was not, we're not out there soliciting anything.
Look at that.
Our whole objective is to listen. That's really our goal right now, is do more than anything else is listen.
You mentioned at the outset that there were several ideas that you presented. This is the one that's getting the most attention. Is anything else coming close to this idea in terms of excitement?
Lighting has been big.
Yeah,
we've been
it?
Spending a lot of time. You got to understand that this vision project has been 4 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So the lighting concepts have been absolutely huge. One of the things that's incredibly important about lighting, and we brought, you know, all of this is supported by research that started out with the Boston Consulting Group with us.
Mm-hmm.
Anything we put, when we put lighting out there, lighting attracts people to begin with. We put lighting against something else, it draws patrons, people, like moths to a flame.
Yeah, I bet.
So whatever we connect lighting with, tops in a huge way. Lighting is really important from a tourism standpoint.
Has George Lucas reached out to you yet? Perhaps he's going to do a little floating Lucas Museum of Narrative Art since he can't build the structure.
We have not heard the call yet.
We'll keep us posted on that.
Are you happy with the attention this has gotten and the progress you're making? Is everything in order with what you were hoping?
Everything is resonating, quite honestly, better than I thought.
Really?
I thought that there would be naysayers that would be coming out and you know, that didn't, and if they came out, they really didn't understand what we were proposing. You know, people talk about a $250 million aerial gondola. Mm-hmm. How can the city afford it? Well, the answer is they can't. That's why we have to look at the right way of doing this.
Right.
You know, public-private partnerships, you know, they're not, you know, people, that doesn't resonate well in the city today when you think of the parking meters. That's why I call this the anti-parking meter deal.
Yeah.
You know, we've learned from the mistakes of the past.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel, has he gotten wind of this? Has he based any kind of opinion on what's going on with the skyline?
We have talked to an awful lot of folks over the last few years, and that's what gives us ultimately the comfort that allows us to have this conversation with you today.
Awesome.
Lou, I've talked to Wendy about this. When I was a kid, there was a magazine article that showed what cities would look like in the year 2000. And we didn't even come close. I mean, it was flying cars and it was dogs wearing spacesuits and stuff. And I went, is that what 2000 is going to look like? This is the first thing I've seen that I say to myself, yeah, that's the future that they were presenting to us in the 60s and the 70s. It's finally going to look like that.
But isn't it interesting that, you know, that this is a piece of history at the same time
you're
talking about the future.
Yeah.
That's
a nice combination.
Good luck. Please keep us posted on what's going to happen with the skyline, because I'd be anxious to take a ride. Wouldn't you, Bill,
a
minute?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We'll save a ticket.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. That's Lou Raisin. We're going to take a quick break and then a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right. I just want to say gondola.
The skyline, the Chicago skyline, but they are gondolas, essentially.
And it seems, we'll post some pictures. There's a video out there, too, I believe, on the Tribune website. And it's pretty cool to see these little cable car-like things driving around. Joan, did you have some comments on the skyline?
Oh, yes, I did. I just wanted to say that in 1933, I rode on that... what do they call it?
The cable car, or what
there
was it?
Those cable cars at that time, yes. And it was called Skyride at that time. And I was only 6 months old, and I got on with my parents, and the man who was running the ride said I was the youngest child that he ever took up on that ride.
Wow.
I hope I can live long enough to ride on this new one.
Wouldn't that be nice? Now, you don't remember, Joan, the other one. You were 6 months. You don't remember any of it, do you?
Well, come on.
You can't. No.
Of course not.
I don't know. Bill claims he remembers sometimes when he was in the bassinet or the crib.
I do remember when I was in the crib. I really do.
Oh, come on.
No, I do.
I don't remember this morning.
But you,
I remember when my brother was a baby, and we're like 3.5 years apart, and so I was probably around three.
Yeah,
and
that sounds right, Joan. Are there pictures of you back then on the cars?
On the cars?
On the sky cars? No.
Skyride.
No.
They didn't have cameras back then in 1933.
Right.
Oh, sure they did. Yeah, they did.
Well, Joan, it looks like they're willing to do this fairly soon, so it would be a great little thing. You should document it. And you riding this as an infant and a legendary woman. That's the way you say it.
Yeah, well, I thought it would. I mean, when my parents told me, you know, years later, I mean, I just thought it was really interesting, you know, that they would take me up on that. But, you know, in those days, you didn't have babysitters. And all
right.
That
right.
Stuff,
no safety rules at all back then. Do whatever you want. It's the Wild West.
Right.
Joan,
right.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Have a good week, too.
Okay.
All right. Take
Thanks.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, how sweet is that?
I want on.
I would go. We forgot to ask him how much it would be to ride.
That was in my head the whole time.
$1 million.
Right. They can't go too expensive, can they?
No, and I don't. I mean, remember he was saying once again, Lou Raisin, we were talking to him. is it transportation? Is it sightseeing? Because do you pay for the water taxi?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you do pay for that.
I'm such a suburbanite. But it's not anything really expensive, is it?
I don't remember what it costs, but I know for sure you do pay for it.
I know you do
for take the water taxi?
Yeah.
It's a couple bucks.
So it's pretty nominal.
Yeah, it's not going to
Wendella
break,
Boat Ride is a little bit more.
Right. Although I've seen you try to get a discount because of your name. That doesn't work.
My grandfather always called me Wendella. And my girlfriend Sue to this day, whenever she sees me, "Hi, Wendella Boat Ride." I'm like, you don't have to put the boat ride on the end of it. I know I should diet, but geez.
So you tell them that as you're boarding to try to get a discount?
Yeah.
The boats are named after me. Yeah. So if you want to just no charge me, that's fine. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's all kinds of things coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Time for baseball.
If you're a baseball fan and you live here in Chicago, this is the best ever.
Isn't it?
The two top teams in baseball are the Cubs and the White Sox. They have the best records in baseball. I can't believe what I'm seeing on both sides of town. They're just unbelievable to watch.
I better work on my my parody song of Jimi Hendrix's Crosstown Traffic, but Crosstown Classic.
Have it ready.
I will.
You're going to need it.
It's going to happen this year.
A couple things of note over the weekend. Thing number one is the Cubs swept the Washington Nationals. The White Sox swept the Minnesota Twins. Both of them just looked fantastic all throughout the weekend. The Nationals have the player that many believe is the best player in baseball right now, a man named Bryce Harper. Yesterday, the Cubs walked him six times, intentionally three times, pitched him carefully the other three times, and hit him once. So seven times he went up to the plate, and seven times he got kind of a free pass to first base. Some members of the Washington Nationals say that the Cubs were, and I quote, scared to pitch to Bryce Harper.
Yes.
There's a pitcher named Tanner Roark who made a statement after the game yesterday just saying essentially the Cubs refused to pitch him. They were scared of him. I don't know if scared is the word. They were careful.
Well, I don't think it's fair. I know it's strategy. I know if you have someone who's a great hitter, you don't want them to hit off of
right.
you. But it's an intentional walk seems unfair in Major League Baseball.
Most of the times that they walked him, there were already men on base. It was a very close game. The Nationals led 3-1. It was eventually tied 3-3, I think in the sixth or seventh inning maybe. And then it went deep into extra innings. So in a very close game, it's very rare to walk a guy to add another guy on base. So the Cubs were being extremely strategic whenever they walked him, but that set a modern day record. Nobody, I don't think since 1900 had been walked that many times in a game. And is it strategy? Is
it
afraid?
Doesn't seem fair.
How would you change? There's no way to change
that.
You
pitch him the ball. You try and throw a pitch over the plate. Everybody should have an opportunity to bat.
I guess so.
I know that's spoken like, you know, someone who doesn't play professional sports, but it just seems wrong to me.
10 years ago when Barry Bonds was hitting home runs pretty much at will, all he needed to do was walk up to the plate and he'd hit a home run. They were intentionally walking him left and right sometimes, and I've never seen this ever in baseball before, but I saw this happen a couple times with Barry Bonds. He was intentionally walked with the bases loaded. They would have rather had a run in, just give them a run.
Instead of a grand slam.
Than let him hit a grand slam. I saw that happen two different occasions where I go, I've never seen this. And nobody second guessed it. They just went, well, the guy's just hitting home runs anytime he wants. Just give up a run.
Boy, you got, you know, going back to Little League, if you weren't the best player on the team, you wouldn't get to bat. And now
right.
if you're the best player on the team, you don't get to bat.
Right.
It doesn't seem fair.
That's how we've advanced somehow.
And the Washington Nationals, aren't they using the W from Walgreens?
Yes. They have.
Are they connected?
Yes. They're not connected at all.
Well,
no.
Why but isn't Walgreens similar... like saying don't use that W?
It is a very similar W. It's not exact,
it's
but
pretty
it is.
Darn
a,
close.
It looks like Walgreens at the corner of Walking and Bryce Harper. Now, the other thing that happened yesterday at the end of the Cubs game, and this, I don't know if anyone noticed this, but I sure noticed it. Javi Baez, a man who doesn't usually hit home runs, comes up to bat in the 13th inning and hits a home run, only his second of the season. The place goes nuts. Most of the fans at Wrigley stuck around. You wanted to see how this game ended. They stuck around. The place goes bananas after he hits the home run. He comes, he crosses the plate. They're mobbing him. The Cubs are just mobbing him. So he goes and he does the post-game interview on Channel 9, Chicago's very own Channel 9. And right at the beginning of the interview, as they're asking him questions about his heroic feat of hitting the home run, two of his teammates, two other guys from the Cubs, sneak up behind him with Gatorade, and they drench him, to which he, Javi Baez, utters the F word. He just says it right there. He yells it out because he did not want to be drenched with Gatorade on a day that was getting cooler by the minute.
And he knew the cameras were on him.
He absolutely knew the cameras were on him. So what do you do with that? Do you suspend him? You can't suspend him. It was a natural reaction.
Why can't you suspend him? You get fined for sure because it's on TV.
I think he may be facing a fine for this. I'm not positive. I know other players, our own Corey Crawford.
Right. What happened to him?
He was at the rally.
That cracked me up.
So I don't know if the FCC stands in a situation like this, if they jump in and say, hey, you knew you were on television. You knew that what was at stake here. You said a word you're not allowed to say on TV. I don't know what happens next, but I...
It wouldn't be him. I would think it would be the television station that gets in trouble.
Oh, maybe.
And I know that just, you know, working in radio all these years, whenever we would broadcast a sporting event, you go out of delay. You have to.
I can't remember who runs it live and who runs it on delay. Like, if you ever have your TV and your radio on at the same time and you got a baseball game on, one of them is 7 seconds ahead of the other, but I can't remember if radio comes first and then TV or the other way around.
Well, it's hard to figure that out now because depending on what cable service or whatever you have, because sometimes we'll have two TVs on and they're at different times.
Yeah.
And it's the same cable company.
Well,
is there even a cable company anymore? I
bet
don't know.
One of your TVs is in HD and the other is not, right? Because if you're broadcasting a signal that's in HD, I think that one takes 3 extra seconds to get the signal as opposed to non-HD.
I'm not sure. I could have sworn this happened before we had the HD TV.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But I know that, like, in live sports, it can't be on delay. This was after the game?
Yeah, it was right after the game.
Oh, see.
Just minutes after the game.
Because they wouldn't have switched into the delay
yet.
No.
Of course not.
Oh, he knows better.
It was such a, you know, usually I'm like, you can't do that. There's kids watching the game. But it was such a natural reaction to him getting drenched with ice cold Gatorade that I think to myself, I think the Pope would have said that right then and
there.
What
if a woman said it?
That would be offensive.
See, I know. I swear more than anyone you know, but it's like all of a sudden it's okay because
it's
one
you,
of your cubbies
then
said
then Javi Baez, and then you again in third place.
Dale, we're talking baseball and swearing. What do you want to talk about?
You were talking about intentional walks and putting a guy on base. Actually, and I know this. I played ball for 27 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
And I had some tryouts with major league teams also.
Nice.
So what you do is, if you got a heavy hitter up there, you don't want to pitch to him. You pitch around him.
Right.
In other words, you throw high inside, low inside, you know, you pitch around him and you walk him.
Don't give him anything good to hit.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, he doesn't want to go out there and strike out, which he could.
Right.
But, you know, that's another way to walk him instead of intentional walking, you know.
Well, even on the three that were non-intentional walks, they were doing just that. They were pitching him very carefully.
Yeah, and well, you know, the fact is that, you know, they said, well, they were scared. Well, yes, they were because they were the Cubs.
There we go.
I don't know that
they're
not scared. They wanted to win the game.
They wanted the game was on the line there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's strategy.
God,
pitch
I'm
around
defending
the
Cubs.
How about this?
No, they were scared. They were scared.
All right, we got to go, Dale. Thank you for...
If it was the Sox, they wouldn't have been scared.
All right.
I'm a Sox fan, too, but I'm going to defend the Cubs fans, not the Cubs.
He is really one of the best players in baseball, and you don't want that guy to beat you. And then you go, throw him on first base. We'll figure out a way to beat this team. And they did. They beat him 4 out of 4.
I just don't think that's fair. Everybody has an opportunity to hit the ball. Without having to stretch or cut it short.
This is the reason you didn't get the managerial job.
I know.
You know that.
Plus, I look bad in the uniform.
Well, there's that.
All right, Dave, we're talking swearing, too.
What the, did you just say? What?
I said we're talking swearing,
the,
too.
I'm kidding you. When he uttered the word, it was reactionary because he got double bucketed.
Yes, he did.
And it was mostly under his breath. It was like if you had to strain a little bit, you would have heard me. He just said the F word.
But you heard it, though, right, Dave? You heard it pretty clearly. Okay.
I heard it very much so. As far as your timing goes.
Yes.
I got you guys on radio, and I've also got you on streaming when I'm working on the computer.
Mm-hmm. Radio comes first.
You're about 3 minutes behind or more on the computer on the live streaming. You're about 7 seconds, which is normal, on the radio.
Isn't it funny, though, they still call it live streaming, even though it's 3 minutes on delay.
It has to buffer.
Yeah.
I know. Let's get ready to rumble. But, well, like other events, they call it Saturday Night. Saturday Night Live is not live. That's on delay.
No, that's live.
It's on delay.
On delay.
No, it, well.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
It definitely is. And most sporting events are also on some sort of delay, even though they say broadcasting live. They're not. They're on delay.
They're all on delay.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, we got to run. Thank you for calling. We're going to take a quick break, and I need to know more about this delay. I know we have a delay because I work here.
For obvious reasons, yes.
Sometimes have to use the button for myself.
Yes.
And we're going to hear the swear word heard round the city.
From Javi Baez?
Yes.
Yeah.
After we take a break. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
I can speak French, too.
That was très impressif.
That means very impressive.
Said completely wrong. We're talking about who's the potty mouth on the Cubs?
Oh, that Javi Baez. You got to watch that guy. Every time he hits a home run in the 13th inning, he just starts swearing.
Well, a little setup to it.
Here's what happens. The game is going on and on and on and on, and it's tied, and everyone's like, come on, it's Mother's Day. Somebody has to hit a home run and end this thing. Javi Baez raises his hand, I'll do that. So he does in the 13th inning, hits a beautiful home run, circles the bases, gets mobbed by all the members of the Cubs, and then they're interviewing him after the game to get his reaction to that home run. And I want to play it. Kevin, you bleeped this out, though, right?
Yes, sir.
This is bleeped out? All right. So this is what you have. Javi Baez, I think they still call it the 10th inning show. Even though last night it should have been called the 14th inning show. He's being interviewed about his home run, and he gets Gatorade dumped on him from behind. Listen to this.
Congratulations. Thank you. I just started now.
Yeah,
long day,
here,
oh, man.
Here it comes. Just be ready.
Yeah.
All right, here it comes is your first little warning that it's coming.
They warned him, and I think if he's been around baseball for years, he knows in a situation like that at least one teammate is going to do this. He got double dumped yesterday. Two guys came up from behind, but you're right. They did. They said they were very forthright. Yeah.
I know. Hey, I love that word. That is the most versatile word known to man and women. And I probably shouldn't say it as much as I do. I do. I love it. I'm sorry.
Right.
But there's a time and a place.
Right. And WGN TV after a Cubs game might not be the place. Although when I'm watching this, I say to myself, honestly, I go, in a similar situation, and I'm not much, I don't swear.
You wouldn't have.
I might have.
You would have said fiddlesticks or, said, poopy.
Right. Right.
There's no way you
would have. Dagnammit, I yelled out after the Cubs game.
I mean, he knew he was on TV. He knew it was coming.
Right.
You asked how come I don't swear on the air, considering I swear more than anyone you've ever met in your entire life.
True. True. Why does that bother you so much? It's true, you do.
Because I don't believe you at all.
But the part that amazes me is that you swear so much off air and never on air.
I'm a professional when I want to be.
I've never met anyone with a switch like that.
Cochran swears a lot. You're the only one who doesn't. How about that, Nancy?
Me and the Osmonds. We're the only ones.
Do you know they're coming to town, Diane and Marie?
I know.
I want to get them on. I love them. One's a little bit country.
The other, I believe, is a little rock and roll.
How about that?
That's a crazy combination.
Just like us.
You know, their brothers have said, some of the Osmond brothers have said some fairly outrageous things that don't get any news play whatsoever. They have said some really outrageous things over the last couple of years. And every time I read it, I go, why isn't this a bigger story? but it doesn't seem to
like
get any
what?
Press.
Now you've piqued my curiosity.
They don't believe that all people are as equal as some of us believe.
And this is not Donnie.
No, it's
this
not
is,
Donnie.
Is it Jimmy?
It's
Jimmy's
not
just
Jimmy.
Always been jealous of Donnie.
It's either Wayne, Merrill, or Jay.
Oh.
Does it alarm you that I know that many Osmonds?
Can I just say a little bit, but here's the thing. That was our wheelhouse when we were growing up.
The Osmond brothers?
We knew those.
Yeah. But
if you knew the DeFranco family, I'd be worried. I know there was Tony.
Yeah, that's the only DeFranco
okay,
I can name.
See?
I think I can do all the Jackson 5, I think.
Go ahead.
All right. The late Michael, the great Tito, Marlon, Jermaine, and Randy?
There's a Jackie, too, isn't
Oh, and
there?
Jackie. Right, because right. Because one of them got old and they put him out
Who
to pasture.
Who wins that one? Wendy or Nancy?
I think just knowing 4 out of the 5 is fairly not impressive. I don't know.
Well, that was what we did. And you know what? There was no Google machine.
Right.
So the things in life that weren't very important to most people were important
right.
to us because we were kids.
Right.
What else did we have to think about? How many Jacksons there were? How many Osmonds?
Right.
There was nothing else to do. The Brady kids, the Partridges.
Right. If you knew those, that's all you needed.
There were no real issues in our lives. We didn't have to be responsible.
I still think those should have been questions on the ACT test. I think they missed out on important things there.
I would have gotten a perfect score,
yeah,
so would you have.
I know. All right, we will be taking a break. Kim Gordon has the news for you, and then Eric Zorn checks in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Just be ready.
Eric Zorn is here, the feisty columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Some would say more feisty now than ever, Eric.
Some would say it's a season for feistiness.
It is.
Are we calling him the Feistmaster General?
I think that's fair.
Let's get t-shirts made.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
Speaking of which, I just saw that Fox has greenlighted a comedy, an animated comedy called Son of Zorn.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm really bummed about it because it's one of those things that's going to become like a punchline.
Well, they're obviously capitalizing on your success.
I've contacted Michael Jordan's lawyers, and the drawing of the guy, it's like a Thor figure with
yeah.
long red hair, and he's holding a sword, and he's really, really muscle-bound like
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that this is clearly copyrighted.
Just stealing you.
And I'm thinking like $8 million will make me go away.
That's about right.
So
yeah, good.
Anyway.
Oh, he's a hunk for a cartoon.
Let's see.
See that guy?
Yeah, that looks just like you.
Yeah, I mean, I know. It's just like it's uncanny.
It's like He-Man, Masters of the Universe, and you combined.
I know. But it's just one of those things where it's like every kid named Charlie Brown.
Right.
Like,
right.
All of a sudden had to realize, oh, man, this is going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
I just read a story about a guy whose name happens to be Donald Trump, but he's not that Donald Trump.
Right.
He's just a guy named Donald Trump. And he said that this year, he goes, my whole life has been a little interesting, but this year especially.
Really tedious, I
yeah.
think, after a while. The jokes will be funny for
sure.
a few days, and then...
And then not anymore.
So I'm bummed about
Do
that.
Do you change
so.
Your name? Do you bother changing your name? Maybe if he becomes president.
I don't think you
if your name is Donald Trump?
You build up all those years of some sort of credibility and...
Well, we had, you know, our former literary editor at the Tribune was Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah.
And she went by Liz Taylor.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, sit... Nuts to you. I'm
right.
Liz Taylor. I'm Liz Taylor, too.
But it's okay to be Liz Taylor. It's not okay to be
well,
Donald Trump
well, that's
for
true.
A lot
Liz
of people.
Liz Taylor was not quite the same figure of fun that...
you also had James Kirk here.
We do. You're yeah. right. We did. Or not here. We have Sun-Times.
At the Sun-Times. I'm sorry. Jim.
The,
yeah, Jim Kirk.
Publishers.
Right.
But he goes by Jim, and I think...
But he wrote here for a while.
Right.
Yeah. But now he's at the Sun-Times.
Right.
Yeah.
He didn't go by Captain Kirk or anything like that. So.
Or he didn't use his middle name Tiberius.
Right. That was so. The difference.
So did you like that tweet that I sent you? Remember that tweet that said, did you share this with Wendy?
I did not.
Someone on Twitter?
He shares
it's
nothing.
Like,
I swear too much.
It's like the difference between extra virgin olive oil and regular olive oil is the extra virgin olive oil has more Star Wars action figures.
I probably should have been insulted by that, but I wasn't.
Star Wars fans are different.
Right.
They have sex now.
Right. Absolutely. It's all changed. Let's talk
the
about
mother of anyway.
Let's talk about this survey.
Wife
in the
of
New
not
York
mother.
Times.
Mother of Star Wars of children.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yes, okay.
The New York Times did a survey about us, about the people of Chicago, and found out some interesting things.
Yeah, this was published in Saturday's New York Times, and it was basically sort of a look at where Rahm Emanuel is standing with the public right now, and it's not good.
When has it been good, though, honestly?
Well, when he won re-election and when he first won election, he did extremely well in the African-American community when he won every ward but, like, one.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Moseley Braun beat him in one ward, I think, when he had a very strong support in the African-American community. 62% of Chicago residents said they disapproved of his job performance right now. African-Americans only 30% approved, 70% disapproved of his job performance right now.
And anything to do with the Laquan McDonald?
Well, yeah, exactly. Only 7% of people surveyed thought that the Laquan McDonald shooting was justified in their opinion. 7%. You ask people about public safety, 17% of white people said that their neighborhood was not safe at all. 17%, not that many. 41% of African Americans, 26% of Latinos. That the sense that people have that their neighborhoods are not safe is really strong. It's a really bad report card for him to get now.
All right. So the trickle down is so many people putting not all the blame on him, but a good portion of the blame on him. I'm not sure what he should be doing differently. He replaced the top cop. He's added more patrolmen. What else is he not doing that he should do to make people feel safer here?
Well, that's a good question. And you know, I think replacing the top cop was a good move, and that was supported in the poll. People thought that was a good move.
To get rid of McCarthy.
By him. And, you know, I think what happens is people are unhappy with the way things are going.
And rightfully so.
And so they blame...
But someone has to be the scapegoat.
They blame the mayor. Now, there's obviously some questions about how the mayor responded or didn't respond to the Laquan McDonald shooting. It's what cost Anita Alvarez her job,
yeah,
the Cook County State's attorney. And I think some of that blowback has hit Emanuel. You know, the problem with the schools, another interesting part of this survey, you know, the teachers are talking about striking, and they've decided they're not going to strike this school year, but they're probably going to strike in August or September.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go back. And you'd think that people would be a little bit unhappy with that, given the state of the city finances and the fact that property taxes have gone up in order to pay for education and so on. But 59% of people surveyed by the New York Times said they would support a strike. And three-quarters of African-Americans are on the side of CTU, the Chicago Teachers Union,
yeah,
Karen Lewis's organization. Three-quarters. And that presents, I guess the picture that emerges from this is of nothing too surprising, but it's a racially polarized split city, and you've got, you know, African-American people who are just not happy with the leadership and the direction of the city, who are really in the mood for some other kind of leadership. Now, Bill raises an excellent question. What is it that he could be doing? You know, right now the big controversy is over the Lucas Museum on the lake and things like that he's trying to, you know, generate some economic activity there.
Although but, you know, that just seems weird too, because without having a budget, that doesn't seem like it should be a priority. I know it's snooze or lose, George Lucas and Melody Hobson are going to take their museum elsewhere, but it just seems kind of weird that that's what he's worried about when we have all these other issues.
It is, although as he will tell you when you mention this to him, that he can walk and chew gum at the same time. That there are, you can juggle a
That's
bunch
true.
Of different issues. That you can worry about crime and also worry about economic development. And, you know, I'm of a really mixed mind about the Lucas Museum. It's not something. Well, you're probably, Wendy, probably more in favor of it, right?
It's going to be such a small portion of Star Wars. I just think it's great to have something here. Someone's going to offer something. It's going to create jobs. It's going to be another addition to the museum campus. I don't see what the problem is.
Well, that, you know, my feeling is, yeah, that it's a parking lot right now, and it's always going to be a parking lot until they put something else there. They're not going to, like, say, oh, let's get rid of the parking lot and plant flowers there. That's
mm-hmm.
not going to happen. So the idea that you could enhance the museum campus experience seems reasonable to me. The fact that the land is not right now pristine parkland, it makes it seem reasonable to me. It doesn't sound like this great museum, but maybe it would be. There'd be a lot of incentive for them to make it a great museum.
What's the flip side for you, though?
Well, the flip side is just this idea of the lakefront being something that we really want to work to protect.
Yeah.
And the fact that you might, and the fact that any kind of tax money would go toward helping somebody build something. They're going to give him a lease. I think it was like a 300-year lease or something like that for $1 a year. But when you're talking about creating a city that is a tourist destination, and Chicago makes lots of money, had 50 million tourists last year,
yeah,
that you have to keep adding things like that. You have to keep drawing people here.
Right.
And I think that, you know, somebody made the point that people don't really drive out of their way to go to museums, do they? I mean, they don't. It's very rare that you would drive to, say, to the Museum of Mexican Art in Pilsen. I mean, people do, obviously, but it's not when you have all those museums together there, right on the lakefront, when you've got the Planetarium and the Field Museum mm-hmm. and the Shed and so on right there, that you add another attraction and that it makes it a real destination.
It's right.
Someone who's like, well, that would be a great outing to go to. All
and as kids, didn't you, not necessarily with your schools, but your grandparents or your parents would say, hey, we're going to the museum today, and you'd hit them all. You'd hit the Shed, the Planetarium, you'd go to all of them. It'd be a really great day.
Well, we used to take our kids and do at least two when we would do that. So mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it does work out. And I think, I mean, here's the question that I would have for people is okay, I think some of the opinion about this is based on the fact that the architectural rendering is kind of weird. It looks like a big glob of melted ice cream or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange looking building. That Lucas has come in and made some demands. He must be on the lakefront, which I think I understand why he wants to be close to the other museums there. I'm not sure he wants the view so much as he wants to be close to all the other sites. And so here's a thought experiment for you. What if instead of being a strange looking building for George Lucas and this, you know, Hollywood millionaire, what if it were the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, decided, you know, we're sick of Canton, Ohio. It's a podunk town. We're going to move to Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which is arguably one of the homes of the NFL in the early days. We're going to move there.
Right.
And we're going to put that, we'd like that parking lot for our museum right next to Soldier Field.
Wouldn't they find a way to make that
happen?
I would
think that the public's feeling about
it
would be
different. But
that's
not education like this would be. That's a completely different thing.
But it would be a real tourist. It would be a real tourist draw. It would be a real. I mean, then you know, education museum.
Into
Hall
football,
of Fame.
Not into football. Yeah. Into film, narrative
into,
art.
Into football,
not.
Chicago. You know, yeah. I think.
Plus, Soldier Field looks like it. Somebody just put a giant bedpan on the columns anyway.
Well, and now you're picking at a scab for me because I've thought that when they had to redo Soldier Field was at like year 2000 basically. And
there were no other options.
Perfect time to move it to the west side, to move it to one of these neighborhoods that needs the economic development. Maybe take it out there by the Chicago Stadium or United Center now.
Yeah,
have it out there. You don't need to have. I mean, that football stadium. It's how many times a year do they play? They play home games. What, 9-10 games a year at the most? Home games.
Eight.
Soccer plays
and
there.
Soccer
though.
Plays there, and you have some concerts there. But
Paul McCartney plays
there. You could have knocked down everything but the colonnades, the historical colonnades, and put a
landmark status there.
Yeah, you could have put a soccer field for people to play in, you know,
right.
for fun there, and it would have been a great opportunity. And so what? Now that that's there, and then of course the McCormick Place, being the McCormick Place East on the water, thanks to the Chicago Tribune, by the way, we agitated for that strongly back
yeah.
in the 60s, and all those people have been fired since then.
Can you contain your feistiness for 2 minutes?
I don't think so.
Do your best.
I'll try.
Eric Zorn is here. Boy, is he feisty. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about a survey that was in the New York Times that talks about how we here in Chicago are just not that thrilled with the way things are going, mostly about the violence, mostly about Mayor Emanuel. Are you shocked by any of these numbers, Eric?
I'm not really surprised by them. They are, like I said earlier, it's like a report card, an interim report card that they're sending to the Emanuel's house. please do something about young Rahm's performance here.
Have
and
you noticed...
sign here and return to us.
Have you noticed how much more accessible Rahm Emanuel has been the last couple of weeks? For instance, on Steve Cochran's show in the morning, they were trying for months and months and months to get him on the show. He wouldn't do it. Now he's making fairly regular appearances. Same with shows like Windy City Live. If he's doing that show, you know he's desperate. Why is he all over the media all of a sudden?
Well, I think he realizes that that he does communicate well. He argues well. I think he presents fairly well when he comes to these shows.
Yeah.
He's got a good sort of self-effacing sense of humor.
Yeah.
And he's a likable person if you've had him into the station. And he's a smart guy. But he does, when he does remove himself from the public, when he's not talking to people, when he's not doing these regular media appearances, people tend to, you know, make him the villain for everything that's going wrong. You know, and I don't know. One of my things that I fault him for is that he was really left a big load by Mayor Daley.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of problems that he inherited, huge problems. Because Daley, I mean, one of the things, just for example, Daley loaded up the labor contracts 10 years ago because he wanted to make sure that he had labor peace through the 2016 Olympics in Chicago.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that, by the way? Is that,
yeah,
are you excited
can't wait.
About the 2016
very excited.
Olympics in
it's
Chicago?
Coming fast.
So, of course, you know, so there are all these like long-term, very generous labor deals that he struck. Expensively, arguably, couldn't afford them and can't afford them, given that we didn't get any of the economic development that the Olympics were going to bring.
Yeah.
So we're loaded up with that. You know, obviously the parking meter deal, mm-hmm. and the fact that Daley spent down all of our rainy day funds. He left Emmanuel with a big, big problem. And rather than sort of pointing this out and saying, hey, look, Daley left me with all these problems, I am trying to dig out of these holes, which he has been doing. He has not been willing to really even utter Daley's name. He's not been willing to say that. Even now, it's like for like 6 years ago now, or it's been a really long time, and or maybe 5 years. But he has to, I think, basically, we have to realize that he's trying to dig out of some really serious problems. Now, of course, you've got this other problem going on right now with increased violent crime rates and the murder rate this year, the shootings that have just been so awful. You keep hearing these stories about it was somebody shot on Lakeshore Drive. It was a small story. Did you see this? It was in the paper this morning. Like somebody, who knows what was going on, but they said, like, oh, the police came to investigate a minor crash on Lakeshore Drive and found that one of the occupants in the car had been shot to death.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on? That ought to be
how
like
does it happen, though?
News.
I mean, if we know it's going on, there is more police presence. It's like it's still escalating. I don't understand that.
Well, some of it goes back to the Laquan McDonald case and the story that the police feel like they're getting second guessed at every turn. And, you know, you should have like Dean Angelo, the Fraternal Order Police head, come in and talk to you about this, because he says, like, this is a real problem that police officers feel like everything they do is second guessed. Every time they have to confront a suspect or have to make an arrest, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be filmed with smartphones and these.
Is it illegal to film a police officer, like if you're getting pulled over or something?
No.
Or you're a passenger in a car and your spouse is getting pulled over, can you just tape?
No, it's legal, and there have been some court cases on that very point. In fact, in there was a law in Illinois, an anti-eavesdropping law, where if you recorded an official in his official capacity doing official things, that this violated eavesdropping laws. And those laws have been changed, but there are people who spent some serious time in jail for doing just what you're talking about, but no longer. And this is feeling that the police officers have is just they're under siege and that they can't
and
do
they
the
are
job. And they are, and their jobs are really tough. They've got some difficult situations. They have to control some difficult situations. I don't think the answer is for them to stop making arrests. I happen to think that if we have these body cameras and we have these dash cameras and we see the entirety of these confrontations, that most of them, the use of force that they have is reasonable, and that these cameras are part of the solution. They're not a problem. I mean, the police are resisting them in some ways, and they have been. But I think most police officers are coming around to the idea that it insulates them from a lot of the bogus complaints that they get.
Show them we're doing what we can and what we have to do.
And you should. And this has also happened with interrogations. You know, they've begun videotaping interrogations, and people were saying, well, this is going to be horrible. We're not going to be able to clear murders because we can't, you know, but juries understand that you lie, you cajole, you, as long as you stay within certain boundaries, you can, and when you're doing interrogations. So, and the same thing I think is true of how police do their jobs on the streets, which is, you know, it's not, you know, yes, please, no,
sure.
Why,
right.
Sir, you have, I'd be glad to let you search my pockets, sir.
Absolutely.
Should I put my hands behind me like this? You know, so that they have a very difficult job, and I think that that's part of the answer.
Yeah.
Expensive, though, so.
Eric, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune every chance you get. I think you'll like what you read. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Son of Zorn. Thank you.
Absolutely, son of Zorn. Quick break, and then we'll find out what our friend Steve Bertrand has on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Our D-I-V-O-R-C-E becomes final today. Me and
Boy, that Tammy Wynette could put a smile on your face, couldn't she? Pretty upbeat music from Tammy Wynette.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E-O-Z-Z-Y.
Oh, don't say that.
I am shocked at this news that broke over the weekend. After more than 33 years of marriage, E! News has learned that the 67-year-old heavy metal rocker Ozzy Osbourne and the 63-year-old co-host of The Talk, Sharon Osbourne, are Splitsville.
No.
My wife
and I patterned our whole marriage after theirs. This is very upsetting.
I saw a joke on Twitter, and I don't remember who wrote it, and I'm not going to claim credit for it, but somebody said Ozzy's been trying to get out of the marriage for years now. Sharon just couldn't understand him.
He can be a little hard to understand at times. Yeah, he can be very hard to understand.
She has pretty much helped him through his resurgence.
I don't know that he'd be alive without her.
I don't either.
She's put up with a lot of stuff.
So I think there should be like a GoFundMe page. Who wants to take care of Ozzy now? Someone has to.
Somebody needs to be the new Oz keeper. Who will it be?
I like that.
Is it going to be you?
No. God, no.
Somebody's got to do it.
I can't train a dog.
That's impossible.
A source tells E! News that the couple mutually agreed that Ozzy would move out of the house temporarily. In addition, the split has nothing to do with Ozzy's sobriety. That he is or that he isn't?
We didn't even infer that, did we?
Our insiders, this is E! News online.
Yeah.
Our insider shared that the rocker has been sober for 3.25 years.
Good.
And has not touched drugs or alcohol in that time. Ozzy and Sharon met in the early 70s when he rose to fame with the band Black Sabbath. She later became his manager. She really has taken his career.
She seems like a bright lady.
Absolutely.
Doesn't she?
But she has gotten so much plastic surgery and weight reduction, and now she's on The Talk, that she's probably thinking, you know, I got to manage myself.
Do you remember a story came out a little over a year ago about who she dated just prior to meeting Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, I
somebody
can't
very
remember.
Unlikely.
Paul McCartney.
Nope.
More unlikely?
Yes. More unlikely than Paul McCartney.
Jay Leno.
Yes.
I do remember that.
Jay Leno.
God. What is she picking guys you can't understand?
I always like knowing somebody's spectrum. Like, what are their extremes and who they would date and be interested in? And Jay Leno and Ozzy Osbourne, that's a pretty extreme spectrum, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's all across the map.
Well, they met in the 70s.
Was he married once before? I can't remember if he was married before or not.
I thought so.
I thought so, too.
Well, maybe not. The two wed on July 4th, 1982. There were fireworks.
Sure there were.
That's just in the air.
He saw fireworks every day, whether there were fireworks or not.
They had three children. Amy Osbourne is 32. She was not on the show.
She is the most interesting member of that family because she realized early on in the early days of reality television, I don't want to get messed up in that. And they didn't refer to her. Like, anytime anybody talks about them, people assume they've got two kids because they only saw two on the show. But Amy was smart enough to go, uh-uh, you film whatever you want. I'm not in on this.
I watched that show. I don't know why. I must have had a lot more free time back then.
It was, you know what, in the early days, it was kind of interesting to watch, but then didn't it start to make you sad a little bit?
No, that was the Danny Bonaducci reality
show. That one made you sad?
Show. That one really made me sad.
They all make me sad. I can't
reality
watch them.
Reality is sad.
I'm not sure what it is about it that makes me sad. I think it's that people think that having a camera on them 24 hours a day is a good idea. And I don't know why they would think that. I guess they do it for fame or for monetary reasons.
Yeah, but these people didn't need it.
I think he was doing it to resurge himself, don't you? To say, I'm still around. Because up until then, if you'll remember, he was in a career lull. Nobody was talking about Ozzy Osbourne. Then all of a sudden, the show was on and everybody was talking about him.
I guess. But he was still playing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. But he wasn't. Like, he went from relative obscurity, a guy who was popular 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to all of a sudden everybody was talking about him and his family. I can't imagine that being healthy for anybody to always have a camera on you.
Well, and I enjoyed watching it because despite the weirdness and the richness, they seemed like a loving family.
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, Jack has had some issues with, was it drug or alcohol or both?
I think so too, yeah. I'm not sure which.
And Kelly Osbourne has done really well.
Well, she keeps getting on fashion shows, which is amazing because her own fashion flair is a little questionable. But she's always on criticizing other people's fashion sense, and she's wearing like a freshly skinned zebra. And you just go, I'm not positive you're in the heart of fashion.
I think she's changed, though. Yeah. She dropped a lot of weight and changed her look, and I think she's not as cray-cray.
Yeah, all right.
Ozzy and Sharon, three kids, as we mentioned, Jack, Kelly, and Amy, and this just came out a day ago from Heavy.com. Jack and Kelly starred with their parents on The Osbournes. Amy, however, decided to stay out of the spotlight and did not appear as a cast member, although I want to say that I saw her blacked out on one episode, like a bar over her face.
Usually it's Ozzy that's blacked out. Must have been a very special episode.
Over the years, Jack has appeared on a couple of reality shows and has openly battled MS. That's right. While Kelly has gone on to be a red carpet correspondent for E.
No, I mean, I thought it was a drug or an alcohol thing.
I did too. I apologize.
MS, so.
Jack is the youngest, 30 years old. Kelly's 31. Amy is 32. And last year, Amy admitted to no longer being very close with her siblings as she was launching her own music career.
So you would almost think if she was in the business, if she was in a music career, that that television show would have been a good thing for her for publicity reasons. But she realized this isn't right.
She wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah. And she does not look like...
I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting for... I showed a picture of Amy Osbourne to Bill, and she looks like a model.
Yeah. She does not look like anyone else in the family at all.
I was waiting for your reaction to that.
To see her, you'd be shocked to put her with the rest of the Osbourne family, right? She looks like Donald Trump's wife a little bit.
She does. You're right.
Yeah.
But yes, after how many years of
33
marriage?
Years.
Ozzy and Sharon have called it quits.
He's almost 70.
2013, Ozzy and Sharon started speaking divorce rumors. See, it's true. She couldn't understand him because in 2013, everything that has been printed in the tabloids has been distorted, Sharon assured fans on The Talk at the time. There's always a little seed of truth to everything that gets reported, but then it gets very distorted.
Didn't she a week ago, there was some quote a week ago that she would entertain the idea of having a relationship with a woman. Do you remember that?
No.
About a week ago. I wonder if these are tied in any way.
Hmm. Well, he made some comments on his Facebook page, and this is what he puts. By the way,
he should type like he talks. He should find a typewriter where none of the letters are understandable, and whenever he types out a statement about something, it should read the way he talks.
You can't understand when he says, Shed.
Right. But this would be his typewriter. It'd be like a half circle, then a line that starts to go up and then goes to the left. It would all be like weird symbols.
He put this on his Facebook page, and people, keep your private stuff off of Facebook.
Yeah.
He wrote, just to set the record straight, Shan and I are not divorcing. I'm just trying to be a better person.
Oh.
He said that he had been drinking and taking drugs, but that he was 44 days sober. So, I mean...
That's the start.
You got to start somewhere. Right. That's right.
Right.
The only thing that was true was the Facebook posting that my husband... The only thing was true is the part where he said he's been using alcohol and prescription drugs for the last year and a half, and he's been in a very dark place, Sharon said on The Talk. That's true. It's very true.
Oh.
Poor Ozzy.
And then it's weird because she's on The Talk 5 days a week, and you have to comment on it. You know, if you're on a talk show like that and part of the show deals with the reality of your life, you can't ignore it. She's got to bring it up on her show.
Although her show... Would she have had that show if the Osbournes...
No.
I mean, it just seems unfair. When he needs you the most, the Osman needs you.
Right. Right, right, right.
So, yeah, sad news. After 33 years of marriage, Ozzy and Sharon.
Seriously, aren't you kind of sad for
them?
I am. I don't know them, but you just go, boy, after all the stuff those people have been through...
That's just it.
It's too bad it can't go the distance, you know? All right. We have other stories to share with you. If you'd like to jump in, you know how to do it. We're at 312-981-7200. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
One, two, three, and let's go out to the border. Let's go out to the river. Let's take me everywhere, every lesson to do. I don't remember what I have to do. And I don't have to do that. And I don't have to do that. 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Some runs, guys.
Couldn't you miss one? He didn't know at one.
He had a hard time getting that out. One, out of 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out.
Oh, Ozzy.
His version of it, and I don't know if you've followed this over the years at Wrigley. They've had some people butcher it, but I think that's the worst of the worst. I think, and well, yet it's very entertaining.
It's totally entertaining, but all it is yeah. I mean, you could sing and do a better job.
I think I could. And I'm not a singer, but I think I could do better than Ozzy Osbourne just did.
I don't know if that was a compliment.
Well, I didn't mean it. That's the hardest. Well, that's not the hardest. It's not like it's the anthem or anything.
Right. But people go up there and they try their best, and many times it fails. Mike Ditka. And
I was thinking of Ditka.
That was a horrendous rendition also.
Ah, come on, gang. It wasn't that bad.
There have been some people who have just... But that's the one that I think the history of time will show was the worst of the worst. Yeah.
Poor Ozzy.
Is that why they're getting a divorce? Did she just rehear that somewhere?
Maybe.
I married that guy?
After 33 years, we're reporting that Sharon Osbourne and Ozzy Osbourne getting a divorce. Some other reality shows... forced the hand of divorce on many other people.
Because you can't have cameras. It's hard enough to have some sort of a semblance of life if there's a camera on you once in a while, but if there's a camera on you all the time, like a reality show would dictate, you can't. It's impossible.
And I don't think you can say, you know, if you had a big blowout or something, you can't go, we don't approve of that, because I think you sign away.
That's what they want to see.
Yeah.
Right.
Yolanda and David Foster. I don't know these people, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
David Foster is a songwriter and a composer. He's very talented. He's been around for a long, long time.
All right. Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey from Newlyweds. I watched that show. I love her.
They divorced during the show, right? Didn't they get fed up with each other while they were making that show?
I think so. 3 years of marriage.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
But then he went back and did another reality show, didn't he? Like whoever he got married to, I think he's on another reality show now.
Is he still married?
Yeah, it's all pretty recent. But you would think, like, if you failed at one with cameras on you, you'd go, well, maybe that's the problem, is that there's always cameras on us. I can't do this again.
John and Kate +8, the Goslins.
Oh, what a mess that was.
I forgot the whole story with those people.
And now he's saying, because that's one... The girls used to love when Reese and Kylie were little. They liked that show because it started out, you know, it was fun to watch. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was mad at each other. And then as the show went on, everybody was fighting. But now John Goslin says that there's some of his kids, some of his 8 kids that he hasn't seen in over a year, that a van pulls up to his apartment and 2 or 3 kids gets out and he never knows whose it's going to be. And there's a couple of kids he hasn't seen in a year.
That's pretty tragic.
It's awful.
Who else? Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown being Bobby Brown. I forgot about that. I said it wrong, but you get my gist. Yeah, they didn't fare well.
Mm-mm.
Camille and Kelsey Grammer, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Right.
I thought they were still married.
No, he's with somebody else now.
How does he do it?
He keeps on doing it, doesn't he?
He gets
keeps
the babes.
Finding girls, yep.
Hulk and Linda Hogan. Hogan knows best.
Yeah.
That was short-lived. I don't remember seeing that.
I've got the video of that one.
Yeah.
These are reality shows. Bethany Frankel and Jason Hoppe. Bethany Ever After. That's the skinny girl?
Yeah.
Girl.
She's got quite a conglomerate of businesses with her name on it.
Vicky and Don Gunvalson, the Real Housewives of Orange County. I never watched any of the Real Housewives.
Who they are. Yeah. Good for you.
Although someone in your house watches.
Oh, my God. My wife loves those shows, and it baffles me because she's so intelligent, and she'll be watching those shows. And this is what I've said on many occasions. I said, if these were real people here in our neighborhood and you knew them, would you spend any time with them? And she always goes, no.
But she'd spy on them.
But she'd watch them all the time. And I don't understand it. They're always mean to each other all the time. They're mean to each other on the show. And then there's another show where they get interviewed and then they're mean to each other again.
I don't like even watching that. I mean, I don't.
I know.
I don't understand how people can be like that.
I don't
that.
Get it.
And Britney Spears and Kevin Federline. Oh, yeah. Remember that short-lived.
K-Fed or well-fed. That's how he ended up. Overfed. All right. We got to take a break. More show coming your way after Steve's news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Wendy. Nice to see you.
You as well.
I didn't understand this. I didn't even know this was possible. Did you know that words could go viral? I knew that stories could go viral and pictures could go viral, but I didn't know that words could go viral until just now.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it turns out they can. So I will ask you some of these words. These are words that, because of the internet and the way the internet works, everyone in the country is now saying these words, but I didn't know this. I lead a very secluded life.
I'm going to be all over these.
I know.
See, I think that might be one of them. I think Kevin worked one in. All over these.
Is that
In the old days, you'd have to say,
no, Kevin,
I will enjoy
not.
These. It's not. Steve just decided it's
okay.
Not. All right. See if you know what these are. Kevin, I think we can't even include you in this because you will know all of
these.
I'll
be your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Liaison?
Barometer?
Yeah.
All right. Ship. What is ship, Wendy? Now, it used to be.
I ship.
Careful.
My pants. I got to be careful.
Careful.
Ship.
Yeah, S-H-I-P. Ship. What does that mean in today's world? Not in the old world where it meant you'd get on a boat and sail somewhere.
Quit Googling, Kevin.
Kevin.
I'm not Googling.
All what right. does it mean?
Relationship, right?
Yeah, short for relationship. People don't say relationship anymore. They say I'm having a ship with somebody.
We don't have time for all those letters.
That's why relationships don't last long, because everybody's attention span is all screwed up.
I tried to say ship, but Sharon's still leaving
sure.
me.
Sure. Sad, isn't it?
I know that's the worst Ozzy ever, but no one else is trying.
He doesn't sound like himself. How can you sound like him? All right, so we know, thanks to Kevin, we know that ship is short for relationship. What does dead mean? And none of these are the traditional use of the word. It's a new way of saying the word. It's a new way of explaining the word.
How is it used? Can you use it in a sentence? Or will that give it away?
It gives an example. I don't know if this will help you or hurt you, though. This is a conversation that two people might be having. Did you see Kanye's eyes at the Met Gala? And then the other person says, yes, dead. What does that mean?
His eyes were dead. He looked tired.
No, Wendy.
Kevin's upset. He's bothered by you. Kevin, you want to explain?
So my interpretation of it, it's like you're kind of shocked or like you can't believe it. Like, oh, my God, I'm dead. You know?
No, we don't know. We don't know at all.
It says the traditional definition of the word dead, of course, is when someone is no longer alive or living. So the social...
Duh
is not on the list, but it should be. So the social and viral use of the word is obviously a bit of a stretch, but it relates back to the real meaning. One dies or is dead when a celebrity slays or kills them. So a celebrity has the power to look at you and make you dead.
I don't know what you're saying. Really, all
of a
sudden.
That's why you can't be.
It's when you're slayed, Wendy. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
So if somebody kills it, they do a great job. Yeah. So if Kanye had dead eyes, did he kill it?
Yeah.
Don't laugh. Me,
now you're now you're speaking Kevin in my language.
No,
yeah.
Oh, your language? Because
right.
you just said yeah when
yep,
I said it.
I agree.
You don't know either. I know adorbs.
Well, that means adorable.
Right.
Right.
That's not current, Wendy. God.
That's old news. That's yesterday's trash.
So am I. So whatever. Whatevs. Is that what still is, popular?
Yeah, you can still say that. What does TD mean? TD.
Touchdown.
So here again, they give a sample conversation to help you speak like the kids, Wendy. So if one person says, do you like this jacket on me? You might say, it's TD, buy it. What does that mean?
Totally dynamite.
I'm embarrassed.
Kevin doesn't know.
I don't think I know this one. Totally down?
Nope.
It tone
means
deaf?
To die. Tone deaf? It means to die as in to die for.
That's stupid.
That is stupid. Who would say that?
That's what kids are saying, Kevin. Wendy, you got to accept it. That's what kids are saying.
Oh, Bill, that hoodie is TD.
Yes, it is. Touchdown. What does this mean? If somebody says this, if a person says suh, S-U-H, what are they talking about?
What's up? Like, what's happening?
Kevin?
Hey, yeah. That's exactly what that's what I know it from is the suh dude. Suh dude videos. You know what I'm talking about?
That's it exactly.
No? Okay. Why do you keep agreeing when you have no idea?
Because I have the answers in front of me.
God.
If I didn't have the answers in front of me, I'd be like Trebek on Jeopardy. You know how he pretends to know stuff?
Right.
And you go, you don't know that, Trebek. You didn't know where the Magna Carta was signed. Well, it's the same thing right now.
I'm so proud I got one right.
Congrats.
It says, remember the T-Mobile commercial when everyone answered their phone by saying, what's up? Now, if I may approach the bench for a second, that was a Budweiser commercial. That was not T-Mobile. That was Budweiser.
I don't even remember the commercial because I fast forward through.
Remember all those guys? They'd go, what's up? Over and over and over and over. That was
Budweiser. I think this is different.
Well, it says it has become the most obnoxious greeting ever, that what's up thing. So the 2016 version of that is this, is suh. It's a combination of the word sup and huh. So sup is short for what's up, and huh is short for huh, obviously. So whoever uses it sounds confused and interested at the same time, which I believe is a reflection on the times we live in. We now live in an age where people want to sound confused and interested at the exact same time. What does that say about us?
That we suck? It was Budweiser.
It was Budweiser. It wasn't T-Mobile. It has its roots in a viral video, the one that Kevin's talking about with a guy who says suh all the time.
Suh, dude.
And Gigi Haddad is in that. Am I correct, Kevin?
I don't know who that is, but yes.
Gigi
she's
Haddad.
A girl. That's all I know.
She's a girl.
She's a model married to somebody.
I don't think she's married. I don't think so. I don't think anyone named Gigi is married. I think the name Gigi implies you're out on your own. You're prowling.
Eternal singlehood?
Yeah. There's nobody named Gigi who's married.
Hi, Beth. Did you know any of these words?
Well, I'm not really familiar with too many of them. I'm a senior citizen, but I wanted to give you two words that I find are extremely overused. Extremely, maybe one of them. That could be number three. But at any rate, the two words I'm thinking of are clearly, and the second one is outraged. Everybody in the world is outraged. That's their description.
Right.
Clearly, I'm outraged by this nonsense. So that's just kind of how I look at it.
Beth, you're right. Those are so overused. Both of them are. You're absolutely right.
And you know what? When we took English classes, we were supposed to be original and not copy. So those are two words that clearly I tried to never use.
Oops. Thank you, Beth.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.
If we're there's a whole other, because I know people say a whole nother, and that's wrong. There's a whole other conversation to have about catchphrases and not even catchphrases. People, like at the end of the day, I hate when people say that.
Sure,
and
me too.
And when they get in the habit of it, they'll say it 10 times.
It's a business thing. There's people who are locked into the business world say, brings to the table an end of the day over and over and over and over.
And there's another thing that I hear in sports all the time, and I can't stand this, whether it be someone talking on the air about it or announcers, no question about it.
Yeah.
I cannot stand that.
Yeah.
There might be a question. Maybe I have a question.
There could be
no
a question
about it.
You don't. There's no room for questions. All right. Do you want more of these? Because I have more. You're doing good, by the way.
Is it sup or suh?
Wendy,
S-U-H. Don't embarrass
me. Suh.
Come on.
Suh,
no.
Duh.
It's the ability to sound both confused and interested at the same time. How about that? All right, we have more of these for you, and if you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. We are sharing with you words that have apparently gone viral, and I have to be honest, even that phrase in and of itself is not, I'm not a fan of that phrase, because who decides, like, is there a certain number that when something goes viral, it has to achieve, you know what I mean?
Like probably a million.
There was a girl who used to work here at the station, and she would always say to me, hey, something, something, something has gone viral. And I go, and she would always have enthusiasm and excitement in her eyes. And I go, how did you decide that? And she goes, I didn't decide it. The world decided it.
Well, if something goes viral, then everybody, it's got, what is it, a million tweets or retweets or postings?
I think it's just arbitrary. I think it's just up to you to decide. I mean, it could be 10, it could be a million.
No, I think
just
viral
means it's widespread. But there's no counter that determines it.
I think there is.
Like
a viral
if something's
counter.
Five short of a million, you couldn't go, oh, I want to say it's gone viral, but it's five short. You'd give it to the person, right?
Maybe suh, Mr. Suh knows.
Kevin's sleeping.
I'm Sud. I'm Mr. Suh. That's me?
Yeah.
Oh. What do I know?
What about this
it
one?
It means it's circulated rapidly on the internet. So if people are resharing it, if something goes viral, is there a certain number?
Wendy says there's a 1 million count or some count, but there isn't. It's just up to you, right?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't really know if there's like a base number that there qualifies isn't. It as being viral. Right. I have no idea.
It's pertaining to or involving the spreading of information and opinions about a product or service quickly from person to person.
But it's still, it's an unknown variable of what, it's
You're
like
just
when
jealous
somebody
you have
says,
nothing that's gone viral.
I don't want anything to go viral.
No, because then you have
I'm
to go to the doctor.
I'm very private. That's true. What does this mean, Wendy, when somebody says, when a guy or a girl of today says Stan, what are they referring to? What is Stan? S-T-A-N.
The janitor at my school.
It is not. Oh, wait, it is. It refers to the janitor at Wendy's school. Yeah.
Take a stand for something.
Nope.
What's your opinion?
Come on.
Oh, come on. Like you knew this before you read it.
Me.
Kevin, you know it?
I don't know Stan.
It's a combination of two other words. But I don't think you'd get this because I don't think anyone says this. It's a combination. Stan is a combination of the words stalker and fan.
Oh, I have so many Stans.
Like if you said... I am a legit Justin Bieber stan. It would mean that you stalk him and you're a fan.
That's
of
the
his.
Worst sentence I've ever heard in my life.
That is, and aren't they called Bieber Beliebers?
A Belieber.
It could be a province like a Belieber stan.
Oh, it could be. It isn't, but it could be. Who says this?
No one.
No one says this.
This did not go viral, this
it won't,
article.
And it won't, if I have any say in it. What about this one? Just the letter V. If somebody's talking and they just use the letter V and that's it, careful.
Yeah, I
be careful. It doesn't
with
mean,
your fingers the letter V.
That means victory. V for victory.
V. You know, Kevin.
Oh yeah.
Do you know?
I'm you win.
V good at this list. I'll just say that much.
Very.
It does mean very.
Excuse me. Does the is that how
that's
do you write that? Is that a
click.
Going
you
viral?
You just do the symbol for click. V is very, like if somebody says, this margarita is V strong.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I'm at a table and somebody says, this margarita is V strong, I just pack up my things and walk away. I just leave. I go, you can't even say the word very. It takes too long for you to say very. You have to say V like it's a court case.
Yeah, I would have thought it was versus. Like, who are the Cubs V-ing tonight?
Or five.
Or the Roman numeral for right. five. Right.
V, I never heard that.
Who would say that?
Oh, so very.
It's awful. All right, I have more, but there's people on the line. What do you want to do? You want to take some calls?
I like yours, but the people are also saying what they hate. And what there are phrases that irritate you, huh?
Yeah, what? I have a complaint.
Okay, go. Complaint department is open.
I hate it when people say, that being said. You just said it. You don't have to tell me that you just said it.
All right, that's a good point.
Doesn't Kevin say that all the time?
Kevin, do you say that a lot?
I don't think so.
V.
That being said, Steve Bertrand's a jerk.
Oh, no. It's come to that. Look where you started, Ann. So how do we... There, so we can just ignore that altogether, right? It doesn't need to be said second time?
Just leave it out. Just leave it out. I
sure.
I think it's just anal retentive because I have a... anal retentive because I have a journalism degree, and I think I was taught that at some point. Like,
sure.
Get to the point, man.
Ann, I am so glad you corrected yourself when you said anal retentive because Bill and I looked at each other and we didn't know what to do.
I didn't think that was right, but you saved yourself.
Thanks,
you. Ann.
Thanks.
Try doing this. Try spending any time on the internet and not seeing the phrase rocking it. Like somebody's rocking a raincoat or somebody's rocking a pair of shoes. It just means wearing well, but...
I put that on my niece's Facebook page yesterday.
Oh,
it was it's her
anymore.
First Mother's Day, and I said, "You're really rocking it."
But don't you find that to be
no,
overly trite?
No, I'm a rock
trite?
Chick. I've been I get to say it.
How about people who they describe everything as like a rock star?
I don't do that.
That's a bit much.
I did
right?
that to my mom yesterday. I said, "You're a real rock star, mom."
But your mom is a rock star.
Yes, she is. Yeah, in fact, she
played with Jefferson Starship
and
for years.
She's been hanging
years.
With Ozzy Osbourne.
That's
I gotta check
weird.
That out.
That's uncomfortable. But really, look on the internet every day. There will be a picture of somebody wearing anything.
Yeah, but can
earrings,
I tell you the difference?
Necklace.
I have been saying that for over 30
you
years.
You have to stop. It's
no,
overused.
But now it's overused. It wasn't before.
You didn't say rocking it 30 years ago.
Oh, my God. You'd always
you
say
did?
That. Hey, we're rocking it tonight. I worked at a rock and roll station.
But that's where you should be able to say rocking it because they are rocking it. But somebody's not rocking a necklace or a bracelet or pantaloons.
Maybe. It depends who's wearing the pantaloons. Hold on.
Betty White is rocking a pair of pantaloons. Hubba hubba.
She could rock a pair of pantaloons.
She looks V-hot. I'm learning.
You're on top of it.
I'm mixing the old language with the new language, Kevin. That's what I'm doing.
V-hot. I like that.
V-hot.
All right. Is there something else?
You want more of these?
Oh, wait. Stan comes from the Eminem song, Stan. I know that song, which is about an obsessed fan that ended up going crazy because of Eminem doesn't respond to his fan letters.
There's an Eminem song? I don't know that. Is there really?
The artist.
I thought you meant the candy. Like, wait a minute.
The M&M candy is not rocking
every
it.
Every day of my life. They don't have a song about them.
The M&M's had a stalker fan, so the company.
Mason Mathers. What's his real name?
Marshall Mathers.
All right. Family Mathers. Do you thought the M&M's? That was the cutest thing
I'm
ever.
I'm sad because it's Monday, and that's going to be my favorite moment of the week.
M&M's have a song?
I would like to learn that song. I feel left out. If the candy had a song and I wasn't in on it, I'd feel left out. Like, you know, the whole world was in on it for me.
He was so disappointed he didn't know.
I was going to say the subtitle of that question was, and I didn't know it?
Oh my God.
There's territory you like to think is your own. And it's like everyone on the planet got together and came up with a song and I wasn't in on it.
I am literally crying. Seriously.
You're rocking your tears.
I am, and I don't have waterproof mascara today. Damn you.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You are so cute.
Oh, quit it. All right. Let's do this. We have to take a break. Steve has the news. Steve, my not knowing about the Eminem song better not be your top story.
Oh, that's my kicker, baby.
Don't do it. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
M&M's man. The M&M's man.
Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love
and makes the M&M's world
taste good. Need some help, guys?
Yeah.
M&M's do have a new song, by the way. It's their 75th anniversary.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Living for tomorrow, lost within a dream, trying to find the answer to the question, and it seems love makes the world feel good.
I hate to break it to M&M's, but this is a ripoff of Sammy Davis Jr.'s Candyman.
Well, ripoff is a strong word.
Borrowed. It's borrowed from Candyman.
It's actually said that it's been reimagined.
Oh, it has been
by
reimagined.
By Zedd and Allo Black.
Yeah. You can't improve on Sammy Davis Jr. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah, you can't do it. But Bill got all excited because he thought the M&M's had a new song. Oh,
right.
Wait. Stan comes from the M&M song, Stan. I know that song, which is about an obsessed fan that ended up going crazy because of M&M doesn't respond to his fan letters.
There's an M&M song? I don't know that. Is there really?
The artist.
I thought you meant the candy. Like, wait a minute.
The M&M candy is not rocking
it. Every day of my life. They don't have a song about them.
Well, they do.
I hope they play that clip when I'm in the WGN Walk of Fame. I hope that's the clip that they play.
That's going to keep you out of the Walk of Fame.
No. I knew about the Willy Wonka song.
Right. How'd they slip this one by me? This doesn't make any kind of sense.
But I guess last month, someone texted us, 2016 marks the M&M's 75th anniversary. And to celebrate, the brand is taking a trip down memory lane with Sammy Davis Jr.'s classic, The Candyman, reimagined. That should be on that list
of
words.
Reimagined should be on this list.
It means ripped off by Zedd and Allo Black.
Yeah. Don't steal from Sammy Davis Jr. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Don't do it. All right. There are a few more of these if you want them. It's
I
up
do,
to you.
Because you were mentioning them and we kind of got into a spinoff of what we don't like to hear.
Right.
But these are words that have gone viral.
These are words that apparently, I don't know who's saying them. It doesn't say exactly. Like, people Kevin's age, and I'm not going to say millennials, because everybody now uses that as a negative word. I don't know when that started, but I hear people all day blaming everything
the
on...
The morning show, you mean?
The Rose unfair. Show? The unfair.
It is unfair.
It's unfair.
It really is.
You can't condemn an entire generation of people because of the years they were born in.
Where would this very radio station be without us millennials?
That's true. I'm on Kevin's side on this.
Well, we need the millennials. At least we need Kevin. to help us figure things out in this day and age, like these words.
Like these words. For instance, what does this phrase mean? And I'll be honest with you, a lot of these I have heard once or twice. I've never heard this before. If somebody just says something and then they use the phrase damn Gina, D-A-M-N, and then a new word, Gina, G-I-N-A, what does that refer to? Damn Gina.
I'm just only going with my gut here, and like that's damn genius, like a good idea.
That makes so much more sense than the actual description of what that means.
Kevin, do you know what it is?
I feel like it's a play off the Bye Felicia thing.
What's Bye Felicia?
I don't even
Are you talking
that's...
about me?
No.
At the tone, the time will be 2:10 and 47 seconds.
Kevin's right, by the way.
What? Am I really?
It's an expression of approval and appreciation, most often used as a term of positive endearment. It's the opposite of the formerly popular phrase, Bye Felicia, which I've never heard of until...
That was named after me.
Of course it was.
I want to say it's from Mean Girls or something like that, Bye Felicia. I could be very wrong about that.
I don't know where that comes from, but Damn Gina comes from Martin Lawrence's show, Martin.
Oh, God.
Because on the show, he had a girlfriend named Gina, and when she would tell him things, he would answer with, Damn Gina. So now, in 2016, it's paying off. Why? What happened? Why? That show was on 15
What's
or 20 years ago.
What's the hold up you're asking?
Yeah, why wouldn't that have been a phrase then when the show was on? Nobody said it when it was on. Why 15 or 20 years later are people saying it? If they are at all. I've never heard anyone say it.
I don't know, Bill.
Isn't that a strange... You know how usually if a show spawns a catchphrase, it's popular at the moment. It's not popular years and years and years later.
What you talking about, Willis?
You know what I'm talking
about. I'm going to start doing that now.
That never went out of style. You can still say that. So I don't know why all of a sudden that would have caught some sort of fire. Speaking of which, what does this mean? Lit. If somebody is lit, what is that referring to?
Drunk.
That's what I thought.
No.
Kevin says no.
Well, what is it?
So if you're describing like a party, it's lit. It's like popping off. It's blowing up. It's lit.
That's what it means. It means it's on
energetic.
Fire.
Energetic.
Yeah. Energetic.
It's happening.
Let's start saying that. That party was energetic.
Say, yeah, why wouldn't you just, the fella, just say energetic?
Because it's lit. It's not energetic. It's lit.
I think energetic has more juice to it.
Notice how Kevin falls into some accent every time
he does. Sings. It's like when Oprah would talk with her girlfriend. She'd turn on the Oprah charm.
Am I really?
Oh. You know what's weird about that? Kevin only does that accent when Gail King is in the producer's booth with him. The rest of the time he doesn't.
Gail King is lit.
See, he does get that little...
She's V-lit.
You're getting it, Bill.
I'm learning. I'm learning as we go. What does this mean if you cancel something? What does that mean?
It means you cancel something on Amazon that you've already ordered.
No. Uh-uh.
Kevin?
Can you give me, like, a context?
All right. Here's
Millennial
a little...
Spelling Bee, sponsored by Alphabet Soup.
Here's an example that they give. Again, these are two fictional people having a discussion. Have you talked to that guy that you met on Tinder? Nah, it's canceled. What does that mean?
Oh, you're not into it. You're moving on.
It means you've deleted somebody or something completely out of your life. It's a broader version of the phrase ghosting, and I don't know what that is. What is ghosting?
When you stop texting someone altogether out of the blue.
They're a ghost. They're dead to me.
Similar to icing.
And icing is?
When you...
That's a two-minute penalty. I know that. Oh, wait. Actually, it's not.
No, it's...
I apologize. It's
icing
not.
Is when you like go long periods of time before responding to a text.
Because it's cold.
Yeah.
That's why?
Yeah, you
cold. Chill for a little bit.
I didn't know that.
God, take a chill pill. Put yourself on ice. I'm turning into
what
Kevin
happened to
now.
You?
I don't know.
Turning into
what
me.
Happened to you there? If something is high key, what is high key?
I don't know.
Any guesses,
so
Kevin?
Not.
Do you know this one?
I'm gonna guess that it's like the opposite of low maintenance, and
like high key. Someone is
high key, low key kind of thing.
It says
upper crusty.
When something is high key, it is the straight up truth. You cannot deny it. Once you proclaim that something is high key, you are all in. There's no debate involved. You have decided.
Give me an example, because I'm confused.
True. They give. In every one of these, they give you a little conversation between two people, and it's like I'm reading Russian, because I have no idea what this means. Ready? Person number one says, high key love, refinery 29, and then the other person says, same. What?
High key what?
What does that mean?
Refinery 29 is a website.
It is?
Yeah.
Selling what? What do they sell?
Just like it gives you information. Like there's...
It's
like Pier 1?
I think it's the website you got this list off of, actually.
Oh, my God.
Is it really?
Refinery 29. It's a modern woman's destination. Yep, Bill goes there.
I've never been to Refinery 29.
Or oil processing equipment.
I've never been to any
refineries. Again, I call you Nancy.
I have no... I swear to you, if somebody walked up to me and said that phrase, high key love, Refinery 29, I would hit my guard llama. I would press my guard llama button.
Refinery 29 is a modern woman's destination for how to live a stylish, well-rounded life.
Oh, all right.
I see things on Facebook a lot where people put things from Refinery 29. That's how I knew what it was.
All right. You've never been there yourself, though?
Oh, yeah, I go there.
You have been there?
Yeah, I'm a woman.
I guess.
I know you forget.
No, I don't. I didn't forget. V. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Hopefully the English language will change when we get back. It'll be a lot easier for us. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. I have a sad story for you. It ends, I'll tell you this, spoiler alert, it ends happy. It starts out sad, and it involves cheese, which I know you're a huge fan of. This is a crazy story out of England. A warehouse worker has survived 8 hours after being buried underneath tons of cheese after a series of 18-foot-high shelves fell on top of his forklift truck.
This is my dream.
To be buried in cheese.
Yes.
The shelves were holding 20 kilograms of blocks of cheddar and red, I want to say this is pronounced Leicester cheese. It's spelled L-E-I-C-E-S-T-E-R, but I think it's pronounced Leicester, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd
it?
Go with Leicester.
Is it red Leicester?
Mm-hmm.
Cheddar and red Leicester cheese when they knocked into each other in a domino effect.
This is totally my dream. It's like you went in my head when I was sleeping and took my dream out.
I would never do that. Even if I had the ability, I would never do that. But this does sound like something that if you were a fan of cheese, and I know you are, what better way to go than to be buried in cheese? Thomas Wisniewski was feared dead after the incident took place at the food distribution center in Hinstock, Shropshire.
Is there a Shropshire cheese?
This is, I think, one of the lands in Lord of the Rings, I think. Mr. Wisniewski was safely removed from the wreckage. Now, you wouldn't have asked to be removed. You would have said, I'm fine, thank you.
I would have just said, come back later, I will eat my way out.
Right. Hey, this wasn't Swiss cheese when it fell on you. What happened? I just ate some holes in it, and now I can get out.
You know,
I don't want to.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but the Leicester.
I think it's Leicester. I'm pretty sure.
It's L-E-I-C-E-S. Yeah,
it's like Leicester Square.
Yeah.
Leicester.
Nope.
I think it's Leicester.
She'll keep going, but
all right.
Trust Steve and I. We both speak English.
I've been to Leicester Square.
All right. Well, it's really dense, so it's bad that that's the cheese that falls on you.
Right. Right. Well, tons of any cheese falling on you is usually bad.
What weighs more, a ton of feathers or a ton of cheese?
That's the age-old question. Mr. Wisniewski was safely removed from the wreckage. Boy, cheese is rarely referred to as wreckage. Usually you just hear it referred to as cheese. And taken to Princess Royal Hospital as a precaution.
The cheese was?
No, Mr. Wisniewski.
Oh.
Specialist urban search and rescue teams from the West Midlands, from Merseyside and from Leicester County, which includes sniffer dogs, were involved in trying to pull the Polish worker from the wreckage inside the 60 millimeter building would be like if it was a model train.
Imagine how dense that cheese would have to be?
Right. It's a 60-meter building, which is actually more information than you'd need. Who would hear about a man being buried in cheese and demand to know the size of the building? I think it's really extra. Deputy Chief Fire Officer Rod Hammerton.
Should have been Camembert.
Described.
Leicester?
Not Leicester. Wait, say that again. Where'd she
Leicester.
Go? Leicester.
Oh, Leicester.
It is Leicester.
Leicester.
British cheese is for $300, Alex.
Leicester.
Didn't even know her.
Bill, how do you pronounce your name? Is it Bill?
Bill. Bill.
Now, is that Lester. Good enough for you, Wendy, or are you going to check that out, too?
Oh, my God. Do you see why I checked it out? First of all, I didn't believe Bill. Second of all...
What?
Well, you're not that worldly.
Oh, come on. That hurts. And,
Lester.
But then to challenge Steve, that's upsetting. Me, I could kind of see, but Steve...
I trusted him, but I just wanted to make sure.
And he knows his areas in England. Deputy Chief Fire Officer Rod Hamerton described the extraction as like crawling over rubble, but then it was rubble made of giant blocks of cheese. Well, that's accurate. I wasn't there, and that's how I would have described it. A West Midlands Ambulance Service spokesman said, astonishingly, after so long trapped under the contents of the warehouse, the worker was able to walk out of the warehouse. He was then assessed by the paramedics from the hazardous area response team.
The hazardous area response
team. It was apparently a stinky cheese.
Why is this hazardous? It's just cheese. I mean, it's a lot of it, obviously. But it wouldn't be hazardous, right?
If it fell on you and smashed
if it fell
you.
On me, right. He was then taken to Princess Royal Hospital in Telford as a precaution. He appears to be uninjured. His colleague, Debbie Belcher, told the BBC...
That was fake. I could have burped on command, and then I thought people would go, oh, my God, she's a girl, and she can burp.
Right.
I can burp whenever I want.
Well,
but that was a fake one.
Right. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. The sense of relief is just immense. We couldn't have hoped for a better outcome. You'd still be there. I know you.
I'd say, hey, you know what? Take your time.
Right.
I'll be good.
Right.
And I'm sorry I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you. And Steve, I didn't believe because sometimes he is...
Hubris.
Are you hubris sometimes, Steve?
Sometimes, maybe. Although I would never lie to Wendy. I don't think I've ever
hubris.
Told Wendy
hubris.
An untruth.
Exaggerated pride or self-confidence. That's today's word of the day.
Can I just read you the headline of this story as it appeared in the Independent News in England? Tell me if you notice the difference between the headline reads there in England, the one I'm about to read you, and how the headline would have read differently if it were a story in the United States. I will read this word for word. This is their headline, the Independent News in England. Man rescued after becoming buried under cheddar and red Leicester cheese for 8 hours. Like here in the United States, we wouldn't have used the word becoming. It says man rescued after becoming buried.
After being buried.
After being buried.
After cheese fell on him.
I would have put that. That paints a better picture. I mean, I guess technically he did become buried, but it just sounds a little too high-end for a guy that almost died from being suffocated by cheese.
What a way to go, though, I got to tell you.
All right.
Can you imagine if it was warm in there and it just started melting a little?
No.
It'd be even better.
He'd be a human quesadilla.
Man, that a swimming pool of cheese.
But then you know
That's
what happens.
That's another one of my dreams.
A swimming pool of cheese. Here's what happens should he have perished under this. Then you have to attend this guy's funeral, and that's what people are talking about at the funeral.
Right.
How did Thomas go?
And they'd have to throw away tons of cheese.
Right. Nobody wins in that scenario.
Well, thank God it all turned out.
It all ended happy. All right. A little bit of a break. Steve with the news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. A quick follow-up to something you and I discussed earlier, Wendy. We were talking about the breakup of the Osbournes, Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne, after 33 years of marriage.
Yeah.
It looks like they are on the road to divorce. And I said how awkward it must be when you're hosting a show. She's one of the hostesses of the show, The Talk, where a good deal of the show is just their own personal lives. And I thought, well, that's going to be awkward for her today. This is all over the news that she and Ozzy are getting divorced. As it turns out, I just see now on the internet, she was a no-show today. She did not show up for her show, The Talk. So she didn't have to discuss it.
Well, you know who set the precedent for that.
Would that be Kelly Ripa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you still have a job after you don't show up?
I'm not sure exactly when it went on there. And even in this case, it's very possible she talked to the producers and probably said, look, this is a very difficult time for me. And to go on national television and discuss it might not be in my best interest right now. Let me take a day or two to just kind of sort things out. So that's what my guess is. But I'm sure you've had days where you've come in here and there's something personal going on. And
we all have.
I don't know if I want to talk about it on the air, but right? So
we have all had those days. You can't just not show up.
Right. Well, you can. She has.
I'm I guess
sure
you can take a personal day. I know, but you know, part of the thing is. Then you don't talk about that, but you still do your job. I guess it's
but with this
Steve's
all over
right.
the headlines today, it would have been weird if she came in and they did the show and people watching her like, wait, that's kind of a big thing in her life. She just left that out. We almost feel like even though we don't have a right to hear it, if you're a regular viewer of that show and you're used to her talking about her personal life and all of a sudden a major element is there and it's ignored, you go, well, that's not being very honest.
But she could also say, you know, you've heard some things in the news. I'm not comfortable commenting right now.
Right.
Anyway, let's get on with the show.
Right.
That is a complete ripoff of The View that I've never watched, so I
the
guess
talk,
I shouldn't say
it's
that.
It's very similar. It is very similar.
Is that the one Leah Remini was on?
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
And she was kicked off or quit or something?
I think they just decided to not renew her contract. I'm pretty sure that's what went on there.
All right. I have some other women news. Do you know
can I stay for this, for the women news?
Yeah.
Right, good.
Of course.
I hope so. Good.
You know who Lauryn Hill is?
Yes. The miseducation of Lauryn Hill was a very important...
No.
She
is a musician. She's a talented musician.
No, that's
musician.
One of her albums.
Oh.
That was
I
like,
thought it was some old TV show that you were
no,
bringing
No, that won, it won a bunch of Grammy Awards a bunch of years ago.
It was one of her big first albums.
Yeah.
I don't think I know... Anything other than I noticed she did a cover of Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly.
It's really good, too.
She's got a great voice.
Yeah.
She's married to a Marley. I'm not sure which one. She has a bunch of kids. She's 40 years old. And
is it Marley Matlin?
No.
Marley Maples?
One of
Jacob
Bob
Marley?
Marley's sons.
Oh, all right.
I don't remember which one she's married to.
It's either
to.
Ziggy or the other one.
It's not Ziggy.
All right. The other one. Not Ziggy's his
there
name.
Like
Why
20.
Didn't you just say he's not married to Ziggy Marley?
Because there are like 20 Marley boys.
Are there that many?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Bob was a cad.
I guess so.
Musician Lauryn Hill was 2 hours late for a show in Atlanta. Excuse me.
2 hours late?
She only performed for about 40 minutes.
Oh, no.
She promised to make it up to the audience, but here's...
How?
Here's what...
What? I know that's
I don't
something
know,
you
go
say.
To each and every one of their houses.
I'll make this up to you guys. I know I was 2 hours late and I only performed for 40. I'll make this good.
Well, on her Facebook page, here's what happened. Musician Lauryn Hill has told fans that she was 2 hours late to a show in Atlanta because, quote, she was aligning her energy with the time.
Oh, all right. Then she's excused.
Now,
this was in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Right. I think she lives in LA, so that was like 2 hours of alignment difference.
Hill, who performed at the Chastain Park Amphitheater on Friday night for fewer than 40 minutes, issued an apology on her Facebook page on Sunday, Mother's Day.
Yeah.
The singer who found fame with Fugees in the 90s went on to become a celebrated solo artist, told fans in the Post that she doesn't show up late to her performances because she doesn't care about them, but because of the rigors of the artistic process.
Oh.
Here's a quote. The challenge is aligning my energy
right.
with the time.
Oh.
Taking something that isn't easily classified or contained and trying to make it available for others. She went on, because I care so deeply about the artistic process,
yeah.
I scrutinize, have perfectionist tendencies, and want space made for spontaneity, which is not an easy process.
No,
no. With the many moving parts on the road. Some days we are more successful than others regarding time.
This, you know what? This should be printed up so that whenever a school kid is late for school, instead of saying I overslept, you just hand them a note that says this.
Trouble
My
aligning.
Energies were not aligned
yes.
with the time.
And I get it. I'm all into the acupuncture now where, you know, you don't want a blockage in your chi, which is energy in your body.
Right.
And if you do, then maybe a certain part of your body hurts because you don't have the flow going. But I don't, like, use that as an excuse for anything. And I don't even really know what it is or how it works, but it makes me feel better.
Imagine you bought a ticket to Lauryn Hill's show. I'm going to say ballpark $30. Maybe it's higher,
oh,
maybe
sure
it's lower.
It's more.
Let's say it's $40, $50, whatever. So then she's 2 hours late, and you're hurt by that. Then she only performs for 40 minutes less. Then you're hurt by that. But then she issues that apology.
This cockamamie excuse.
Right. That's the worst. That's worse than being late and then only doing 40 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, but Bill, on her Facebook page, she said she had, quote, nothing but love and respect for her fans in Atlanta and promised she was figuring out a plan to make it up to you.
What?
She must feel guilty because otherwise, you know, you don't. If you say, I'll make it up to you, then you're feeling very, very guilty about something.
But she's just saying it. There's no way. She can't get all those same people together again. She can't go, how about this? Exactly 1 month from today, come on back. I'll show you guys the best time you ever had. You can't just get everybody back. She can't make it up to everybody. It's impossible.
What if she goes to each and every one of their houses?
Does a private concert at their house?
The show had been due to start at 8 p.m. in Atlanta Friday night. Hill reportedly arrived on stage at 10:20.
Oh, great. Great.
Good God. And at 11 p.m., her microphone was cut due to the venue's strict closing time.
I love that song.
Closing time?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
It's a pretty song.
Many in attendance expressed their outrage about the situation.
I would imagine. $89.50
for tickets, not including the fees associated with the ticket purchase.
All right. That's obscene.
People started booing because Lauryn Hill is nearly 2 hours late at this point. So now the DJ's playing Prince.
Well,
like the DJ was doing his job.
He's smart.
There was no opening act to fill.
Right.
You know, the opening act that knows five songs and you say, repeat them.
Can I tell you, one time, this is back when I was doing stand-up, I was opening for Yakov Smirnoff. And I know it sounds like I'm just dropping names, but I'm not. So it was at the Skokie Arts Center. So the show is going to be me doing 15 to 20 minutes and Yakov Smirnoff doing 45 to an hour. So the show is about to start and they don't know where he is. He's not in his hotel. He's not at the venue. They can't find him. So they say to me, we're going to start a little late, 5 minutes, 10 minutes late. Well, 5 minutes becomes 10, becomes 20, becomes a half an hour. And the crowd gets a little angry.
Yeah.
They want to see the show, right? So I go on and I say, right before I go on, I was supposed to do like 15 minutes. How much time? They go, we don't know where Yakov is, so we'll signal you that it's your time to leave.
So you're prepared to do 15, 20 maybe,
yeah.
And now you're there indefinitely until they tell you to get off the stage.
I started out doing 45 minutes, and I said, I was sure by that point, I'm like, well, he's got to be here. The show's over an hour old at this point. So I leave, and as soon as I leave the stage, I get flanked by these two guys that go, we can't find him. You're back out there. So I go back and I do another 20 or 25 minutes.
What do you do when you go back on stage? Do you reintroduce yourself? Do you just...
I thanked my opening act and I said, I don't know that I can follow what you just saw because that guy was great, but I'm going to do my best. And then I kept saying, what a country, over and over and over again because that's what they paid to see.
But he showed up.
He didn't apologize to me and that's fine. He didn't owe me an apology, but he didn't apologize to the audience. He just acted like, hey, that's what you get. I'm here now. Enjoy it.
My question to you is, where is Yakov Smirnoff now?
In Branson, Missouri.
Really?
I know that for a fact, yeah. Yeah, because I keep tabs on him now, just in case they ever need me to come and fill time before he shows up. I want to know where I need to be.
Well, this is terrible. $89.50 for a ticket.
$89.50 plus fees. You know those convenience fees you have to pay when you...
That aren't that convenient.
It's not really convenient, no.
And so nearly 2 hours, about 2.5 hours late, and then does an under 40-minute show. And according to TheGuardian.com, many defended the singer, noting that Lauryn Hill is known for her tardiness in 2014.
That's no defense.
She kept an audience in London waiting for up to 90 minutes.
That's
no
defense.
If she comes to town again, I wouldn't get tickets.
Right. Tell her, send her a note saying that your energy isn't quite aligned with her show. That you'd love to go and see her, but sadly your energy is not aligned with what she's doing.
Well, I'm feeling sorry for her, Bill, because did you know she was jailed for evading tax on $1 million worth of earnings in 2013?
Really? No, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure that...
She didn't pay her taxes that time either.
I'm pretty sure that she didn't align her energy with that time either.
No. All right, a break and then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. You didn't see Saturday Night Live over the weekend, did you?
I heard some great exclamations coming from my son Michael, who was like, the church lady's back.
The church lady was back. They opened the show with Dana Carvey interviewing Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. And it was very strange because in my head, I don't think I ever told you this, but whenever Ted Cruz would talk, I would hear the church lady. It's the same kind of cadence in his speech
yeah.
as the church lady. And they didn't really do anything with that. Maybe I'm the only one who saw that, but there's a very specific vocal pattern that both the church lady and Ted Cruz have, but they didn't address that. It was just how the church lady reacted to the political climate. And
Was it good? Because the church lady's been gone a long time. Michael was excited about it because it's novel to him. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
We saw it when it happened, and it was funny, does it still hold up?
Not as well as you'd hope, I don't think. I do have to say this. I don't know where Dana Carvey's Fountain of Youth is located, but he was at the end, you know, at the very end when they're saying their goodnights, and he was up on stage. He has not aged a day. I have no idea what he's doing, but it's working for him. He looks exactly like he looked 20 years ago.
He's eating broccoli.
So it is. It's working. It is absolutely
in good
working.
Shape.
Yeah. Yeah. They also, they're getting a little bit of heat because during Weekend Update, Sashir Zamita, who's been on the show, she did a little segment. They were talking about the use of the N-word because... At the correspondents' dinner a week ago, one of the comedians, Larry Wilmore, referred to the president by using the N-word, and a lot of people have criticized him for that. So they did a takeoff on who should and shouldn't be allowed to use the N-word, and they never said the word, but then at the very end of the segment, she did say the word.
Really?
She called Colin Jost, who's one of the Weekend Updates, she closed off by saying the word, and a lot of people are furious. Number one, that she said it. Number two, that NBC allowed it to be said. It was a little bit of a jolt. I don't remember the last time I heard it on network TV.
I don't know what to do in this world of political correctness anymore. I really don't.
Well,
I don't use that word. I don't like that word. But was there a reason for her to say that word? Could she have gotten away with just saying N-word?
I don't know, because the context of it was the whole segment she was trying to figure out whether or not the word was okay to use, and it was kind of decided throughout the segment no, that it wasn't, but then she closed off by using the word, and you heard the audience, there was a little bit of a gasp, not a tremendous, and there shouldn't be a huge gasp, I guess everyone knows the word, it was just kind of a weird thing to hear it on there. But then I was thinking, in the very first season of Saturday Night Live, we're going back 40 years now, one of the funniest sketches that's ever been on Saturday Night Live was Chevy Chase and Richard Pryor, and it was word association, and that word came up, and I remember then being a kid and not being shocked by the word, right? So that's 41 years ago.
Yeah, it was being used more frequently.
I guess so.
I'm bothered that Larry Wilmore ended his White House correspondence dinner by calling President Barack Obama my... That's weird.
How did
he react to that?
Politely. I guess you would say politely. The thing is, at that dinner, the context of that dinner is that anything goes. At this correspondence dinner, you can kind of say or do anything.
But try to be funny with it.
Yeah.
Again, I get so bothered by people just trying to shock you more than be funny.
Right.
Like, I'm not a big Family Guy fan because, to me, some of it's funny, some of it is just dirty to be dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not going to deliver the funny and let it be dirty, then I don't need just the dirty.
Sure. I get that.
And that's I didn't hear anything about the White House correspondent dinner with that ending. However, Saturday Night Live, Sashir Zamata, said, here's the thing. This is her quote that she came out with yesterday. There were more white people upset than black people, and the white people are the reason why that word is bad. That's, she said during the segment. She later added, I'm amazed this is the first time someone has called Barack Obama the N-word on TV. People have called the president the N-word online for years. Just look at the comment sections on videos of him playing basketball or pardoning a turkey or a cat video. That was
part of the segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was her going through, why is there such an uproar over one person calling him that on television, when if you go online, you can find thousands of people using the word as though it's no big deal.
Maybe I'm going on the wrong sites, because I don't know if I'm seeing that a lot. I really don't.
I've seen sites where anytime the president's name is invoked, the N-word either follows it or precedes it. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Where have I been? Honest to God, I haven't seen this.
You haven't never seen it? I've seen it. It's very disheartening to see. You know?
What did Obama do?
Smile politely. You know, actually a little bit of a chuckle, you know? Nothing overwhelming, but there was some reaction. Yeah, I know. So, yeah.
I'm sorry I'm behind on that one. I did not know that the president was called that, and I just don't think it's right.
It's weird because when it happened, I thought this is going to get a lot more airplay. A lot more people are going to be diving in on this, and they really didn't. And I think it's because he, Barack Obama, during his segment, was so funny. He really was. I mean,
I saw that.
His timing was like a stand-up. I mean, I know he's the president, but his timing was impeccable.
So that took the focus away from the guy who is he again?
Larry Wilmore.
And what does he do?
He's on Comedy Central.
Oh. Wow.
All right, a quick break. Ro and Ann are here. We'll find out what they've got coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.